much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Come on, bring it on. Snap, crackle, pop, people. Snap, crackle, pop.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now this is no illusion, no trick. David Copperfield will attempt the greatest physical challenge of his life, surviving inside a blazing 2,000-degree tornado of fire without getting burned alive.
We're going now.
The time has come. This is real fire.
I hope you've been enjoying the show so far, because I know I have, and some of our listeners have, too.
If you like it, you'll definitely like it.
I said, where do you want to go for your anniversary? She said, I want to go somewhere I've never been before. I said, try the kitchen.
And now.
Well, that's our show. Keyboard can't take us home.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and this would be Wednesday the 3rd of Poon. We're going to take your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Lines are open right now if you want to get on the air for the Wednesday edition at 1-800-520-1067. That was the mellow, Kevin. You weren't trying to be sexy or anything, were you there, I hope?
That's all I have, man.
No.
Just, Kevin comes in, he's like, really? Hey, good morning. Good to see you.
I just ooze sex. That's my thing.
Oh. You can't stop it?
Yeah. I've tried. I've gone to the doctor. Band-aids, the whole thing. Nothing.
We have to go around and mop up behind him. That's disgusting.
you still ooze?
Pretty much.
He still loozes.
Yeah. Manuser.
This is how we're starting the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going. This is where we start. Where must we end up at 9 o'clock if this is where we're starting?
I love that clip of Copperfield that you played of him setting himself on fire. That was the best.
I'm hot!
What? Really?
In a tornado of fire.
And I'm sure it was 2 hours, right? Those specials are usually a couple of hours where they show you the background and how he trains and all that stuff.
For literally about a 30 second. Seconds. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
or David Blaine, you know, is in a block of ice. I don't understand any of that stuff.
I don't either, and I don't watch it. It's so boring.
It is boring.
It is so boring.
Except for he was hot.
Well, there is that.
Well,
but no way you could have predicted that.
No.
So.
Hey, speaking of the TV, and again, we're taking calls 1-800-520-1067. But real quick, speaking of the TV, I won't even start the Spidey conversation because I know Ralph is going to want to talk about that in his Showbiz Beat coming up. But we. They play all of us, and we all fall into their trap and continue to make them bigger and bigger and bigger and more successful and more famous than
You're
ever.
Right.
I came to a conclusion, though.
The biggest story on TV yesterday.
Was it?
Spidey. Yeah.
I came to the conclusion yesterday, A, that I'm bored with them, and
yes.
B, that was probably the plan from the beginning.
Yes.
And NBC was in on it. That's my guess.
Oh, really?
Sure. Oh, really?
Sure. I wouldn't doubt it.
You could be right, because on Monday night on the I'm Not a Celebrity, get me out of here, when Silverman, the head of the CEO of Universal, NBC or whatever, when he called Spencer and tried to basically beg him to stay on the show, Spencer hung up on him.
Yeah.
Which to me doesn't seem like the type of thing you're going to do, no matter, I mean, if you are trying to do something in entertainment.
Well, yeah, if he wants to be famous and he wants to be on TV, no way.
So, we're assuming that was actually the head of NBC. Yeah, who knows who he was talking to on the phone? That's what they said.
That is what they said. That's true.
Yeah,
I don't have any reason to suspect that it wasn't.
Just like,
well, if it's a setup, it's just some schmo, you know, that out of sight on another phone that he's talking to.
Or nothing happened. I mean, they just made it up out of whole cloth. But I just have come
to the conclusion. Well, they aired the conversation. They aired part of the
conversation. Oh, they did.
Okay. And they said it was him on the other side.
I just came up with the conclusion that ever since they got married in Mexico, whatever they're saying is not true. And it's a plan. And the plan is to go down there and quit so that they can get a lot of press.
Right.
And so
right.
it's not at all a surprise. And I'm getting bored with them.
Bean's right. Yeah. We're all getting sucked in. And yet, we can realize that, and we could stop.
Yeah.
But it's not going to make a bit of difference.
No.
That's sadly. True. Meanwhile, though, who watched the NBC special on President Obama and A Day in the White House last night? Anyone see that?
Super fascinating.
No, didn't.
Didn't even know about it.
Kevin, you would have enjoyed this show because you would be interested in what it's like to work in the White House and how things function.
Considering I'm going to run the country one day. That's
yeah,
true.
I mean, you're going to want to know what your new place looks
my
like.
My future
right?
home.
I would have been. I actually would have been curious to see that. But I didn't
it's a
know
two-parter. Night number one, the first show was last night, and then they're going to do it again tonight. And okay. You know, Brian Williams, basically, I mean, I guess NBC has been doing this for 50 years with each president, where they spend an entire day with them, and everything they're allowed to see, they see. Of course, they kick the cameras out during meetings and things like that.
What, been doing it you're laughing for 50 years and I've never heard of
they've
it.
They've been doing
You've
it for 50 years and we have never heard of this. What does it
well,
take?
Because it only happens every 4 years. So it's not no, the type right. of thing. You don't remember a TV show from 4 years ago, right? But it's just so interesting. I mean, imagine what it would be like if you're one of the people. You know, you have a certain comfort level with your boss, but you're one of the people who works for the president of the United States. You have to always be thinking what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I mean, yeah. is it okay to throw a football at him? You know what I mean?
Right.
Answer to that, yes.
Yeah, well,
especially
somebody did.
If he's not looking.
he was tossing a ball around at the Oval Office last night. But it's just super interesting. And at one point, and Kevin, I know you being the most cynical man in the world.
It was a setup. Whatever you're talking about was a setup.
You're going to say it's a
photo op.
At one point, he decides, because President Obama every few days likes to go out in public. And I don't know if it's because he loves – people love him and it's fun for him, or if he just feels like he's in a bubble all the time and he wants to see – you know, he wants to talk to real Americans.
Or it's
unfiltered.
A photo op.
Right.
Right.
So anyway, so this is one of those days where he decides he wants to go out for burgers. And what a harangue it is with all the security and the everything that they have to go through just for him to leave, you know?
Is this when he went out with Biden?
No.
Oh,
this was
a separate incident.
Yeah,
okay.
This was separate.
Like
so
he hangs
goes
out with
this
Biden,
place.
By the way.
It, well, there was this big hullabaloo when they went out for burgers one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should see the – I mean – They don't tell the place that he's coming or anything. He just shows up. There's this burger joint called Five Burgers in Washington, D.C. that the president just walks into. And you should see the reaction from people who are there. And he's up at the counter ordering it. He asked everybody in his office before he left if they wanted anything. And there's the president of the United States carrying these big bags back with all these burgers and handing them out back at the White House.
He took their order?
Yes. And who wants anything? What do you want? Cheeseburger with ketchup and fries? Okay.
That's awesome.
And then he gets back and this one guy says, yeah, somebody said, why don't you have a burger? He's like, I wanted one, but I couldn't ask the president of the United States to get me a burger.
Right. That has to be a photo op, doesn't it? Don't you think president doesn't
he might do that.
Grab the order as he goes
he
up?
He seems very close with his staff, a lot of whom have worked with him for several years now. He seems very close with them. It's impossible to tell. I mean, I know that it's not like this is the only time he's left the White House and they just did it for the cameras. I mean, he does do this fairly often. And, you know, that's the reason he says is he just loves meeting regular people. But it was just so weird to see him standing there in line at a fast food restaurant waiting for his food.
Did he wait behind other people?
They didn't show that. When they cut into the restaurant, they showed him.
That would have been awesome if you're standing in line waiting to order and you turn around and there's the president and he's behind you and you just go, nope. been in line for 10 minutes, you're going to have to wait, dude.
If the president gets your order wrong, I don't think you say anything.
No, that's true, too.
But cheeseburger? Okay, good. Great. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
I am cynical because I get the idea that every second of the life of a public official, especially the president, is planned out for maximum press, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do think that's the case most of the time.
I'm going to choose to believe that this is true.
Fantastic.
I think this probably is, but Kevin's right in that the other night, the president and the first lady went to a show on Broadway. They went to dinner and a show, and it has just been every penny that was spent on that has been dissected in the media. Who paid for it? How much did it cost? Why did they go to that show? Where did they eat? Why? You know, I mean, everything is torn apart. No matter what they do, there are going to be people who are going to complain about it.
Who are these people that care where they ate and why? I mean, I don't understand.
People looking for news.
I don't understand that story.
Guess.
Okay, he went to a restaurant. That's it for me. I don't need follow up. I don't need to know why he went to that restaurant. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know either.
So he took people's order. How about that?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I'll say what I say every time we bring up the job. Wouldn't want to be president for all the money in the world.
Yeah,
worst job in America.
I agree.
I would, but I'd have to do away with a lot of the pomp and circumstance. I'd have to let that all go. You know, shorts be fine.
And I mean,
I wouldn't take any meetings.
I see how bored Kevin is in meetings that directly affect our show and our lives.
I hate meetings. I can't take meetings.
Imagine
that would
having
be an
meetings
interesting
on
presidency
on every topic, whether you care about it or not. I mean, like yesterday, last night on the show, they show him in a cyber terrorism meeting. I mean, Kevin would be blah 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 blah. You know, not my issue. Move on. Somebody else do it.
But I'd make it to the video game meeting.
Yes, you would.
I'm just saying, I can't take meetings. I just they make me break out in hives. It's just it takes 50 times as long to talk about something that should be a 10-second conversation.
That
drives me crazy.
Absolutely true.
And all the people that think this is the time that they're on stage now and they get to entertain with their questions or they want to fill you in, whatever with that. So I'm going to cut out all meetings when I'm president.
Okay.
Yesterday we had a meeting that was less than a half hour, and I think Kevin stopped talking about 1 minute in. He was out. Because you knew every word you said was going to make the meeting longer.
You don't want to extend it. And anybody that asks questions, I glare at. Because really, you don't need to ask the questions. Let's be honest. If you have a question, ask sometime, you know, privately. You don't need to extend the meeting. And Bean, by the way, king of extending the meeting. Always has questions.
Untrue.
Hates the meeting. Pouts that
pouts
we're going to have
the whole
a meeting.
Time.
And then makes the meeting go on 20 minutes
well,
longer.
Guys, I'd like to talk about it. Blah, 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 blah.
In yesterday's meeting, there were questions that needed to be I don't think I asked any bad questions. There were questions that needed to be asked, though. That was why we were having a meeting, was to get some of those details.
Did you ask questions?
I did.
Okay,
but
I'm
because
out.
Because they were questions that were important to the mission.
Meh. You
do
know.
It on the side.
Do it on the side. Pull someone aside.
Remember,
how about
a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
That's right.
Bean was talking the other day about how he wanted to find out answer A to question A. And I said, email him. No, I want to get a conference call. I was like, I don't need to be on that call. Go ahead and email him and get the answer yourself. Meetings, they blow. So maybe I'm not going to make a good president. But
there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
That's okay. Correct. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
The movie The Hangover. Looks
yes.
Pretty damn good, right?
It looks
it
great.
Ed Helms is the dude on The Office. Who's in that?
Mm-hmm. Funny.
He's the guy that is missing his tooth and doesn't know how or why.
I have to say, when I saw the billboards, I did not recognize him.
Yeah, not at first.
All.
Yeah. But the TV commercial, you do.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in the studio today talking about The Hangover, which looks great. Can't wait.
That's and his friend Bradley Cooper, too, also co-starring in the movie. He's going to be joining him. So we got two of the guys who go to Vegas for the bachelor party that goes awry with a tiger and a baby.
We're going to talk to a Ramon wife, which we don't do every day. It's Ramon Wife Wednesday. Vera Ramon has written a book about the Ramones and how there's a curse on that band. If you were in the band, bad things happen to you because of a curse.
Or drugs and nonstop parties.
Nope, curse.
Okay.
Adam Sessler from G4, he hosts X-Play, is going to be in studio. We're going to be talking about E3 and some new video games, new California law about buying video games. We'll have that whole conversation.
Okay.
We've got G4 talking about E3 today?
That's correct, yes.
That's fantastic.
And I don't know if you've heard, but Scientology has been banned from Wikipedia. They're no longer allowed to make changes. So I can make changes, not Scientology.
Can you imagine? They had to be on that site.
Constantly.
Every second of every day.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, there's some pages that are too hot to allow anyone to edit, and those they just close down, and they say, well, it's a flame war at this point.
Yeah, so I imagine it's because of both sides. I imagine it's not just because it's a Scientologist. Yeah. It's both. I'm sure people go in and change it all the time.
Yeah.
But you know what I always say, if I can change it, it's not reliable. that's what I say about Wikipedia. Breakfast with Green Day.
Woo-hoo!
We have your tickets, and Bean is obsessed with Twitter, so we'll tell you about that
untrue.
Coming up very soon.
Untrue.
Super
Twitter. I'm on the CB.
There you go.
That's Will Ferrell. All right. It's 5:43. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
It is Wednesday morning. Ralph joins us now with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
You guys with your wacky conspiracy theories.
What? About what?
About Hyder and Spencey.
Heidi and Spencer?
Hyder and Spencey.
I just don't buy anything they do anymore.
I don't either. I think they are a walking pair of fallacies.
Right.
However, I don't think NBC is in on it, because there's no upside for NBC if these two leave the show. They need their constant villainy. They need them to be the bad guys in camp. And they are the biggest names attached to this project, which would bring eyes to the TV sets. NBC desperately wanted them to stay.
How horrific is that they're the biggest stars they could get for the show?
I know. That's sad.
I can see that, but they also could say we need something to kick it off that will get people's attention.
Yeah, but four nights a week for 3 weeks, you need a lot more than just a good kickoff. You need people tuning in for a reason, and they were the reason, and now they are gone. And I think NBC is frightened and scared. And I think they're going to great lengths to try to replace them with something that will be interesting in its own right.
And who's that?
People Magazine is reporting that since Spencer and Heidi punted out of the show, producers have contacted Stephen Baldwin, Daniel's brother, who's a drug and sex addict.
Okay, good.
He was on Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
But wait, they're going to...
I'm sorry, Daniel Baldwin.
Right, that's what you...
Steven's already on.
Steven's
on.
Right.
Daniel Baldwin is Steven's brother, who is a drug and sex addict, who you may have seen at Celebrity Rehab, who was constantly texting Mary Carey, the porn star, pictures of his penis and dirty texts.
Yep.
Yeah, that was happening.
Until she called him on it, and his wife found out about it, and he left, saying it was dangerous for his sobriety to be around these people.
In rehab.
They want to add him to the mix.
Yes.
And Holly Montag. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Heidi's?
Yeah, Heidi's on the hill. Sister.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
That's apparently who NBC is adding to the mix to replace Heidi and Spencer.
I had Brad and Angelina in my office pool of who was going to come up, live in Costa Rica. Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing you don't bet, Bean.
Doesn't it seem odd that they have a competition, and if you don't start from the beginning, don't you have kind of a leg up because you haven't been out there, you haven't had to eat stuff?
Yet? Sure.
You know what I mean?
I doubt NBC is worried about the authenticity of the game.
That's true.
Holly, by the way, in one of the final episodes, Holly is a zero also. And in one of the final episodes of this season's Hills, at the rehearsal dinner for Spidey's wedding, Holly threw food at Heidi, and it got all over her $4,000 purse. That was the big plot line that Holly was involved in on the Hills.
She sounds like
a perfect candidate for this show.
She could be the new villain.
It's outrageous.
Ooh, mean Holly throws stick bugs at Janice Dickinson.
Did you watch
a very
last
special
night?
Episode? I just tuned in and out. I was flipping around because I wanted to see if they would talk about or mention the fact that they quit, and they did. They did address the fact, saying this time they're gone for real. Or are they? Wink, wink. Meaning
this is not a very nice show.
Yeah, well.
Which I took to mean they were, but NBC was desperately trying to hold on to the glimmer of hope that maybe people would keep tuning in to see if maybe they come.
They'll come back and quit every other day.
Yeah,
between now and then.
Yeah.
No, Christians don't do that. People, you're supposed to be nice, and I have really bad bug bites.
That's true.
That too.
Both of those things are true.
Who is she to talk about anyone being nice? How does she expect anyone to be nice when she's married to that pillock?
I don't know. And why doesn't God protect her from bug bites?
And why didn't whatever chopper or plane they were leaving the island on go down?
Ooh,
that's what I want to know. Get that on film. Show that over and over again. That's
now
your special.
Now I'm in.
Every night, four nights a week, the plane crash with Heidi and Spencer, now I'm watching.
And where's your murder button to take those hosts of that show out, by the way, Ralph? Where's that murder button?
You ever seen two bigger dish rags in your life?
Oh, those hosts drive me out of
my mind. They are complete zeros. I almost owe an apology to Seacrest when I watch them work. They're horribly boring and bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the girl. I've never seen her
before. She is from the British version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Damien, I used to see on MTV, and he was
bad.
He didn't bring much to the table. He was okay.
He's always been bad.
He can talk, but he just doesn't have anything to say.
He should go.
Murder.
Murder button.
That was only for one of them, though.
Both of them.
Murder.
Yeah. There you go. I would.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean.
Okay.
She's a stone-cold idiot, by the way, that one.
Really?
She's remarkable.
You think?
I never watched much of The Hills, but on this thing, she says things that are just relentlessly stupid. It's pretty spectacular. More reality TV news, because let's face it, that's all we got. Susan Boyle, everyone talking about the fact she came in second.
The Hairy Angel?
Came in second on Britain's Got Talent. Now people are speculating the reason she didn't win, and this is fascinating to me, is because she's ugly. They said if she had the same amount of talent and been an attractive person, there's no way she would have come in second on that show.
Huh. Hmm.
I can almost see that.
I can, too.
I mean, I think people tend to, you know, lean toward good-looking people.
I think
isn't that what made her amazing to begin with?
I think that was the novelty of it, but when it comes time for people to really vote with their feet, or in this case, their telephones, I think they opted for the more attractive of the two groups, which was this young, fit dance group called Diversity.
God. Yeah.
There's an interesting study out now that's saying that good-looking people get the better of everything almost from birth. They've noticed that nurses in maternity wards lean towards and pay more attention to attractive babies than less attractive ones.
It starts that early. Wow.
Then teachers in schools treat better-looking students better. The peers are more responsive to better-looking kids. It leads to what they call a positive spiral, whereas if you're an attractive person, almost everything in your life is easier and you get further in life just based on your looks.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know?
Not that long you've skated on your looks. But interesting stuff. So Susan lost because she was ugly.
How about that?
That's why everybody was impressed she could sing. It's because she was ugly.
That's right. It was a surprise when she opened that mouth.
Yeah.
Speaking of opening your mouth, 1,000 British women were asked
to close their mouths?
Which celebrity they would like to have on their popsicle?
What?
Which male celebrity would women want to suck the most?
Oh,
asked by Del Monte Foods.
God.
And the new summer treat in England is the Daniel Craig popsicle. Yes, women all over the UK will be sucking on Daniel Craig to try to have a sweet treat this summer season.
Suck it.
That's a bad thing right there.
Daniel
that's,
Craig popsicles.
It looked like him?
It does. It's got his image on the popsicle.
It is him, Lisa.
I have to know what Sean Connery thinks about this.
Oh, you can't be too happy.
Now.
Yeah, it's a popsicle created in the image of the latest 007. Daniel Craig popsicles available this summer all over England. Based on the
suck it.
On the pool of 1,000 women that they polled and asked, who would you most like to suck on? With a popsicle, of course. I mean,
I saw it on the TV yesterday, and it's, you know, incredibly buff, shirtless Daniel Craig.
All right, then.
1,000 guys were polled as well. They came up with the same answer.
Yeah. Bean was one of them.
Suck it!
Bean's been polled more often than most guys.
Yes, he has.
That's all I'm saying. And Christopher Knight and Adrian Curry, you remember them, our pals from Surreal Life?
Sure.
Yes. They met on Surreal Life. Mm-hmm. They got married, consequently. I Married a Brady was the other show.
She browbeat him into marriage.
She is an adorable, sexy model. He, of course, a former Brady. He was Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting topic. Maybe we should talk about this someday on the air with our listeners. But they've both got, well, one of them's got their list. The celebrity list.
Right.
If you get a chance to bang ex-celebrity, it should be okay.
Right.
Well, apparently it's not. Adrienne's obsessed with Trent Reznor. And so she said she'd like to add him to her list. She said to Chris, if I could ever hook up with him, you know, if I get the opportunity, would it be okay, even though we're married? And he said, no.
Well, that's not how you play.
That's not how you play the list. You're supposed to get a, you're supposed to get a mulligan. You're supposed to get a bonus.
Well, isn't it different? Haven't we discussed this before, that it may be different if you live in a world where that might actually happen? I mean, she's... It's possible she could meet Trent Reznor at some point.
Well, there's no point in having the list, then. There's no point in having the list.
But the reason most people accept the list is because, you know, your plumber husband is never going to get a chance at Cindy Crawford. So it's okay if there's a list. You know what I mean? But the celebrities kind of run in circles where they do encounter each other.
Your spouse looks at you and goes, yeah, put them on the list.
Yeah, but that's right. The point. The list has no function or even a chance of becoming real. Why bother even keeping the list? Might as well just put everyone on the list. Make it the whole world of celebritydom on your list. You could have sex with anyone because you're not going to have sex with anybody.
Now, does he have a list?
Apparently, it doesn't say in the story whether he does or not.
He shouldn't
either. Already had a list. She wants to add to the list.
Yeah, Trent Reznor's her newest attraction.
And he said, no, your list is closed.
The list is closed?
Apparently, the list is closed.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because let's face it, a guy like George Clooney, it's ridiculous for him to have a list, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Because he could have sex with anybody.
He does the list.
You don't even think about lists. And he's not in a relationship, so he doesn't need a list. He's a single guy. It doesn't even apply. But I'm saying, what's the point of having the list if you can't?
I agree.
With a shot. I wonder if anyone's ever had the list and then had an opportunity to make good on a member from the list.
That's what we need to.
That would be my question I'd be interested to know about. Do you ever say, oh, if I ever meet, you know, Dave Grohl backstage, I can do him. And then next thing you know, boom.
Psycho Mike.
Remember him?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, you had Charlize on your list, and of course, you've met her many times.
Right? Yes.
Who else has been on your list that you've had the opportunity to meet and have
closed
too, a deal?
By the way? Ditter.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really have a list.
Catherine McPhee, was she on your list?
If I had a list, she would be on it. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Susan Boyle.
Ditter, too, by the way. See, here's the thing about me and a list. I make a list of people I've done, celebrities I've done, but not celebrities I want to do. It's a different list for me.
Adam West.
Did him. Yeah. Shatner, did him.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, it's a big list. I have to teach. Cleo did the list today.
Yeah.
I have to teach her to pare down a little bit. Maybe select some celebrities rather than just put everyone who's ever been born on this day on the list.
You want her making that choice, do you?
Yeah. Well, okay. I wanted to show some sort of editing skills.
Nope.
Otherwise, I gotta look through. I gotta sift through Suzy Quattro at 59. I decided whether to go with
Suzy
that
Quattro.
Or not.
Let it go. Bean's excited. Let it go. Don't do it.
Ian Hunter at 70. Should I be even worried about that? Should I just be able to not have to deal with that on my list?
Pretty much, yeah.
Now probably. I have to, like, you know, visually scan here and try to pick names. Scott Valentine from Family Ties. Do I need to worry about him?
That.
At 51?
No. Mallory!
Let's see.
Give me a moment.
Yeah, you're right. It would go quicker.
Yeah, it's hard. I gotta look through. I don't want to just start reading off names. I don't mention Kerry King of Slayer.
What?
45.
Of course you do.
Michael Mike Zero.
I don't want to talk about Too Slim of Riders in the Sky.
Of course you do. This is the best day ever.
Game show host Chuck Barris from The Gong Show. I mean, what do you want me to do here?
Yeah.
All right, here I found an actual celebrity. Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper from CNN celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Happy birthday, Anderson.
Oh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday morning. As Kevin mentioned earlier, it is Ramon Widow Wednesday, so we are going to be talking to Vera Ramon in about a half an hour. She used to be married to Dee Dee. For 17 years, she was married to a dude in the Ramones. That seems like a long time to be in that universe, doesn't it?
Yeah, way too long.
So she's still alive and he's not, but she's written a book about it, and that'll be coming up later this hour.
Let's talk about Twittering. Bean is a guy who loves the Twitter. Bean is a guy who pays too close of attention anyway. Like, if something happens and you were to email Bean, he would say, oh, yeah, no, I already saw that. No matter what. I mean, even if it just happened. Yeah.
Thank God Twitter came along so Bean can finally start getting some information from an electronic device, because he's so out of touch ordinarily, except for every channel that he watches and constantly being on the internet and literally having a coaxial cable plugged into his cerebral cortex.
He is way too on top of things. And it's frustrating because we all scour the internet. We try to find interesting stories, you know. Hey, guys, you'll never believe what I saw. We should do something on the show. Blah, 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 blah. And then Bean will go, saw last week.
Read it 2 weeks ago. Already blogged about it.
So he Twitters, and for Bean, this is the greatest thing in the world. But for me, I didn't realize that you can see who other people follow.
Oh.
You can see their list of Twitters follow.
Okay.
So this is not about what Bean Twitters. This is about who Bean follows.
These are celebrities that Twitter that Bean gets their messages sent directly to his device.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's the best way to find new people that you want to follow is on other people's lists to see who they follow.
How many people do you need to follow?
I don't need to follow anybody.
That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm thinking.
See, I got a couple of hundred pages.
What's he got there?
That's
see those four
true.
Pages?
Four pages of names?
No
four pages
way.
On two columns, four pages.
Oh, mama.
It took Miss Cleo about a half a day to collate all of the people that Bean follows.
Are you kidding?
Not at all, no.
Guys, there are some people who follow thousands of people, though.
Well, what's wrong with them?
They have problems.
Those people don't have a life, though.
My God.
This is why Bean's busy.
That's right, yeah. Not opening and closing the barn door. It's Twitter. You can follow in all his tweets.
Let me put it this way. Here's what Kevin is so always confused about. He thinks because I follow a bunch of people that it must take forever. And it doesn't, because you dip in and out as frequently or as infrequently as you want. It would be like me saying to you, Kevin, you must never be able to leave your house because you have 400 channels on your TV. Well, that's ridiculous, because you pick and choose the shows on the channels at the times you want to watch.
But
you
didn't watch them all the time. Channels. He didn't choose to put 400 channels on his channel.
I don't have to keep up with all of them.
And I don't have to keep up with all these Twitters either, but they're there if I want to.
Then let's wait and see, because these better be some goddamn interesting people that have something you want to hear about for you to add them to this list of 200 names.
There better
be some effing good people on this list.
There are some good people on the list, by the way. But, of course, with this many, there are some that aren't quite as good. What was that Disney show that you were mentioning yesterday, Ralph?
Wizards of Waverly Place or Sonny Gets a Second Chance?
Demi Lovato.
She's on Disney Channel.
Yeah, and Bean at that moment said, oh, yeah, I follow her Twitter. And that's when it occurred to me.
He follows Demi Lovato's tweets.
How old is she?
She's about 15, but
she's got to have stuff to give you then.
Say to you.
So, right, so
what?
That's what I thought. I was like, what? How long must his list be if he's following Demi
Lovato?
You
don't want to miss out on those pearls of wisdom
tweets
that come out of Demi's mouth or off her thumbs.
It's so cute the way she and Miley talk to each other all the time on Twitter.
Now we need like a rape button, because I want Bean to get raped.
Well, we could try to make that happen. This isn't
murder.
Murder's too good for him.
It ends too quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I want him to suffer.
He follows Chris Hardwick.
Why?
Because he is a tech guy who writes a lot of interesting stuff about internet and technology. That's why.
Bean does follow a lot of music people. He follows Rob Zombie, Tom Morello, John Fogerty.
John Fogerty, well,
MC sure. Hammer.
Fogerty's the same tweet over and over again. Buy more CCR albums.
MC Hammer.
What does MC Hammer have
MC
to say?
Hammer.
He must have a lot of tweeting going on.
He's got some stuff happening, yeah.
Bean follows Jordan Sparks.
From American Idol.
What?
Yeah. Really?
You know I love
from American Idol. Right?
She was from last season or the season before.
Was she one of the winners?
No.
Yeah, she was a winner.
She was a winner.
Yes, she was.
Two seasons ago.
What do you find out from Jordan Sparks on the Twitter, Bean?
Just how her tour is going, which country she's at, what kinds of stuff she's doing. She's been very, very ill lately. Lost her voice. Couldn't talk for 24 hours, solid hours.
See, yeah. Here's the kind of thing.
I wonder how Jordan Sparks' tour is going.
Right. It's not
There's no way to find that out.
It's not like the rest of us ask that question and we're just frustrated because we don't know where the answer is. We never ask that question.
But here's the difference. And I know you guys accuse me of needing too much information.
You do.
But before there was a Twitter and in some cases a blog, the only thing you could find out from afar about how Jordan Sparks' tour was going was...
Was news.
You might read a review of what her show was like in London
right.
last night.
There'd be some news about it.
And that right there is too much information.
No. Bean, you're missing the point. None of us would look elsewhere.
But I'm saying if that were an interesting
we don't. News,
but now, thanks to the internet, thanks to the beauty of the Twitter and the beauty of the blogs and stuff, now you can find out what her life is like. And I think that's really interesting to see all the stuff they have to do.
Bean follows Lauren Conrad.
Oh, no, you don't.
Bean follows Kristen Cavallari.
They can't say any more than they say on that show.
Bean follows Donny Osmond.
No, at least I'm sure when their thoughts are reduced down to 140 characters, they get really profound, those girls.
Bean follows Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's a famous astronomy author.
Bean follows Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton,
the
by the way.
Been from Star Trek?
He was on a Star Trek show like 15 years
they
ago.
They kicked him off like in the second season. He was too annoying.
He has a whole new life now as a best-selling author, and he's another guy who's heavy into the tech.
Hold easy with the best-selling. What is he? What book
you.
Has he sold that's
write?
Best-selling?
I don't remember what the book
I
is.
I bet you don't,
out,
you mother effer.
I'm just telling you.
For you. Best-selling author. Don't try to slide that guy.
Rape. He's a super, super smart guy and a super interesting guy. See, that's the thing. You can't put a guy in a box just because he was on a popular TV show 15
years ago. He put himself in a box.
That doesn't mean that he's worthless or isn't doing anything today that's interesting or doesn't
Will
have
Wheaton's
something to
life is like. Is what about Jordan Sparks' health is?
He follows Kristen Stewart.
Why?
K-Stew, of course, yeah.
K-Stew.
Bean
from Twilight.
Follows,
yeah.
I know who it is. I don't get why.
Bean follows Oprah Winfrey.
Of course he does.
Well, she doesn't tweet much, but I—that's really just know your enemy. That's all that is.
Bean follows
I want to see
Andy
what
Rooney.
Evil thing she's up to.
Andy Mother Effin Rooney
has never tweeted that I know of.
Bean follows Pete Wentz. Bean also follows Ashley Simpson Wentz.
Ashley doesn't tweet much. Pete and Mark Hoppus are best friends, and they tweet about ridiculous stuff all the time. By the way, now you're finding out. Now you guys know why the King of Mexico and I are best friends.
Yeah,
because he's exactly the same as I am.
This is rough. I mean, there are a lot of good ones on here, too. Kevin Smith, Foo Fighters. He has a lot of Katy Perry, which, of course, we all are good with.
Yeah.
Larry
Kevin
King
Smith is hilarious, too, by the way. Larry King is hilarious.
Sure.
Hilarious. Back,
no one funnier than Larry King.
He's sharp as a tack.
That
one.
Super funny. Miley Cyrus. Heidi Montag, Spencer Pratt. You want me to
that's
keep?
How, I mean,
pages and pages. Billy Bush.
As we're
Billy
talking about
Bush,
Billy Bush
from Access
Billy,
Hollywood, whose only job in life is to talk about other celebrities.
That's correct.
Bean is following his life.
I've learned a lot of interesting details about Billy from Billy Bush, by the way, about breaking Hollywood news. I mean, he's on
how
top of a lot of those
How quick do you
stories.
Need to know
That's
about
the question.
It? That's the question.
I like to stay current.
What could possibly break in Billy Bush's world that you need to have immediate access to?
Bean, you don't stay current. You stay ahead. You know of
you
things.
You live in the future.
Right. You need to come back to normal life. Most people don't even check the news, let alone look specifically for news, let alone on a Twitter list like this. Barack Obama, okay. Al Gore, not okay.
both pointless and boring, by the way. Don't recommend either of them.
Really?
Maybe you should take them
can
off.
Can you not drop Al?
I can. I dropped about 20 yesterday. Oh. Just yesterday I went in and people that like Tila Tequila I was following, too many tweets that are too lame. So I just now I'm not following.
You took people off this list?
You put Tila Tequila on your list, by the way. F you.
I did it the day that we had the rumor that she was pregnant just to see if there
you know
was
what?
Any update
I
on it.
I read
that.
The same rumor. Didn't feel the need to add her to a Twitter list so I could get more of her crap.
Ralph, what would Al Gore sound like if he were Twittering?
Another ice cap is melting.
Bean follows Dane.
Tweet, bitch. Tweet, tweet.
Dane Cook.
Yeah, well, that's from hate.
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Carson Daly.
Cool dude. Carson Daly.
Selena Gomez.
Oh, yeah.
Another 12-year-old from Disney.
Yep. Ryan Seacrest. What? John Mayer, Lil Wayne. What? You want me to keep going?
I can read these all day.
Fathomable to me.
He follows all of these people.
This is madness.
This is why being so busy. During the song, we were having a giant argument in the studio.
Oh, so busy yesterday.
One of us so busy. And we were mocking
My life is so full. I don't know why you guys think my life is full.
None of it had to do with Twitter. None of me being busy yesterday.
What do you do that makes you so busy? Because he lives on an island by himself. He doesn't interact with people.
I had to open a gate for some workmen.
I was barely on the Twitter yesterday. I don't even know if I tweeted yesterday. That's how busy I was.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, how's Demi Lovato? Is she okay?
Oh, I hope Jordan Sparks' throat clears up.
How's the tour? Is it all right?
Forget Twitter. I'm on the CB.
Well, so that's the problem with Bean right there.
And by the way, I also follow Kevin Ryder. Let's not leave him off the list.
And you know for a fact that the only reason I do it is to mock the King of Mexico.
It's the only thing he ever types in.
I don't do it for any other reason. I don't want people to follow it. I don't want to be interesting. I just want to mock Dave.
So that's the assumption. Then, why would you follow him?
So take that off.
You're an addict. You are an addict.
When
that's
have I written
problem.
Something that you wanted to read?
When Jordan Sparks gets her next sore throat, I'm going to know about it and you guys aren't.
I'm going to give her an next sore throat.
Murder.
Everybody seems to use Wikipedia as a source, a trusted source.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always bothered me. And I use it, too, sometimes because it's much easier to find information. It's all in one place. But it's always bothered me that if I can change it, then it can't possibly be accurate.
But they have people who look at the changes.
Yeah.
And
eventually they get to
them. Wrong.
But how do you know you're not going to Wikipedia right after I type something stupid?
You don't.
And that's true.
That's a completely legitimate concern. The hope of the encyclopedia, and it's, you know, the biggest encyclopedia in the world, and some say the most accurate in the world, 99.9% of the things on it are accurate, is that if something is wrong, somebody will change it. That's the goal of the thing. But what's funny is the controversial sites, like the abortion page or the Barack Obama page, those kinds of pages, they run into problems with people who are getting on Wikipedia who are trying to push an agenda.
Right.
And that's where this story comes into the news.
Yeah, and they have a committee. They have an arbitration committee that votes to kick you off of Wikipedia if you do too much, just propaganda.
Monkeying around.
Yes. They voted 10-0 recently that they are going to now kick off Scientology. No longer can anyone from Scientology update Wikipedia.
Oh, that's awesome.
10-0.
Which, by the way, is crazy because obviously they're just blocking IP address from the Scientology Center. But that guy can go to a hotel in Ohio and change anything he wants on the page, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like that's really going to work. But we thought, who's the most famous person in the world who might have some insight on this story? And, of course, our old friend Tom Cruise came to mind. And Tom joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Tom.
I hate Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, they're trying to keep it a neutral viewpoint is what they strive. They're not really trying to push an agenda. They're just trying to give some facts about your religion, Tom.
Well, what they're trying to do is to be prejudiced against a religion. That's what they're trying to do.
Why would they be interested in that? Don't they have their hands full trying to just keep the thing going and being accurate?
Because I happen to know that Wikipedia is entirely run by psychiatrists.
Is that right?
Yes.
What?
I've done the research, and they are all psychiatrists. Psychiatry equals death.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, Scientology says psychiatry equals death. So I don't think the psychiatrists are running the site, though, Tom.
Kevin, don't be glib. I've done the research. I know.
Okay.
You know, in some major metropolitan cities, Wikipedia is being used as a street drug.
That's not true. You can't use an internet site as a street drug.
But I'm happy to announce that I am starting Elronpedia.
Elronpedia.
Which is a new encyclopedia that I am starting.
Okay.
And you will get 100% the truth at Elronpedia.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not have to deal with any of these problems.
Okay.
Kevin and Bean are a couple of douchebags.
Well, that's true.
See, now, again, that's just a personal opinion. That shouldn't go into an encyclopedia.
No, that's fact, my friend.
That is science.
Well, what kinds of things is it that your Scientologist buddies have been trying to either add or remove from the Wikipedia site? What are they getting wrong?
Psychiatry is death.
Right.
Postpartum depression is a myth.
Right.
Top Gun is a great movie.
Wrongest of all, yes.
Katie Holmes is a brilliant actress.
Yeah.
All the facts that have been obscured over the years.
What are the other
evils of psychiatry and Wikipedia?
What are the other kinds of things you're going to put on Elronpedia?
Tom Cruise absolutely should have won an Oscar for Magnolia.
Okay, what does that have to do with anything, though? I mean,
hey,
that's
facts
again,
facts,
that's,
man. Facts are facts.
But isn't the fact in Encyclopedia whoever won that year that wasn't you? It's not really a place for opinion.
Bing, 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 bing,
bing,
bing, bing,
yes, Tom. Bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing,
yes, Tom. I'm right here. What? What?
He's driving in the bean car.
Hey, Tom, he's... I'm right here, Tom. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, buddy. What's up?
He's listening.
Yes, Tom. Yes, Tom.
Don't be glib. Don't be glib.
Really? Yeah. That's an entry on Elronpedia, really?
I'll take that back. Yeah. Delete. Okay, good.
Who's in charge of the site? Just you?
Me and Omar. Charges too much for his...
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was a moment with Kevin.
You guys in your editing try and make me sound bad.
It is a miracle that anyone ever comes on our show as a guest twice.
That's true.
After the treatment that we give them the first time around, huh?
By the way, this afternoon at 5, The Offspring will be playing live on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde on the world-famous K-Rock. It is right now 6:40.
Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, it is Ramon Wives Wednesday, which means, I don't know. It's going to be tough for us to continue this booking pace, but at least we do have one for today. And we're actually very excited to welcome to the first time Vera Ramon, now Vera Ramon King, who has written a new book all about her late husband, Didi King, or Didi Ramon. The book is called Poisoned Heart. It is in bookstores everywhere today. And Vera, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for getting up so early.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm so glad when somebody like you writes a book, because a lot of bands that I love, there are books written about them, but very rarely do you get somebody in the inner circle who actually sits down and tells kind of the stories that we never get to hear about.
Most of the stories that have been written and books that have been written about the Ramones are third hand. They've been written by men, and they're full of interviews. My book is completely different. I write about my day-to-day life with Didi. I'm the only woman that's ever written about a Ramone, and it's the truth. It's my day-to-day rock and roll soap opera.
Mm-hmm. And give us a timeline for folks who may not be very familiar with the story of when you and Didi got married and how that relates to when the band got together.
The band actually formed in like 1974. I met him in the fall of 1977, and we were inseparable since then. We separated in 1989. However, we were back and forth. We finalized our divorce in 1995, so we were basically together. We were married 17 years.
Okay. When you look back, I mean, is it it has to run the gamut of some unbelievable highs and some really desperate lows.
Oh, it was a roller coaster ride, that's for sure. I mean, we had our good times, our bad times. I write about all that. I write about the ugly parts of it and the wonderful parts as well. And I hope that his fans will get to see another side of him besides the legacy of him just being a drug addict and, you know, a kind of like a crazy person or whatever. There were so many different sides to this man, and I want people to know that he was incredible.
Now tell us about the curse. Apparently there's you've written about the curse of the Ramones.
You know, it was like, I think it was like 79 or 1980, somewhere in the early 80s, around there. When you come out of a show, usually after the show is over, you have fans that meet you in the parking lot, and they want autographs signed, and they tell you how great the show is. This particular night, it was like pouring rain. There was a guy there with one of those long leather coats down to the floor, like one of those Columbine kids.
Sure.
And he had a Bible in one hand and a cross, and he had a whole huge, like a small entourage of followers behind him. And he walked up to each and every one of the Ramones and was trying to have them repent and give up their evil ways. And, I mean, they weren't Satan worshippers. They just wrote about, you know, geeks and freaks and stuff like that.
Right.
There was nothing harmful about what they were singing about. But towards the end, when nobody would listen to him, he started cursing everybody, each and every one of us, getting into the van. And
I mean, you say cursing, you don't mean just using bad language. You mean putting a curse on?
I mean an actual curse. I curse you, blah, 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 and whatever, you know. We were just like, kind of like, I remember John saying to Monty, get this guy out of here, you know.
Right, nut job.
He was like freaking us all out and bumming us out. And
but you couldn't have taken it seriously at the time. I mean, he must have seemed like a rambling crazy man, right?
He did. They all seemed kind of crazy, but we got into the van and we had this creepy, eerie feeling. None of us spoke. I mean, it was just like dead silence. And then finally Dee Dee said, "This guy gives me the creeps. Let's get the hell out of here," you know?
Now, what year was that curse, Vera?
Excuse me?
What year was that happened?
That was, you know what, I think it was like probably, I'd say 1979, 1980, and I never really gave it much thought after that. It was a creepy night. It never happened before or since,
right.
And we did like 3 world tours.
But you think there was something to it?
You know what, after they all reached, like, Joey was 2 weeks short of his 50th birthday when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Dee was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. 2 months short of his 50th birthday,
right.
He died of a heroin overdose. John turned 50, was diagnosed with prostate cancer, died.
Did the kid mention 50th birthday?
No, he didn't mention anything like that. Huh. But you know what? It's like this magic age. And then at 50, I got sick, you know?
But don't you think that, I mean, especially a heroin overdose is kind of...
That's on you.
I mean, that's not a curse.
No, it's not. But you know what? The timing of everybody was just a little uncanny. I still really don't know if I believe in curses, if there is such a thing. I know that what was happening that night, he was imposing some kind of a curse on the band. Whether or not it was for real, I mean, I have no idea. It's just my opinion, and I speculate that maybe it had something to do with that night. But the band has had, like, that they couldn't get any airplay. They always had this black cloud over them. And
well, I want to ask you about that. This is Vera Ramone on the phone, by the way. She was married to Dee Dee Ramone of the famous band. The book is in stores now called Poisoned Heart, I Married Dee Dee Ramone. I want to ask you about that because every time the End of the Century Ramones documentary comes on my cable, I watch it because it's so fascinating to me. The whole Ramones story is fascinating, and they certainly are, you know, some of the founding fathers of the music that we play here on this station. But they couldn't make a living. I mean, it was a really, really tough going for a band that is so revered and so held up to for being so influential. It was really tough going to be in the Ramones for all those years, wasn't it?
They never made any money. They had to play constantly to make money so we could pay our bills. We definitely weren't rich when we started making a little bit of money in the 80s, but it's nothing like today. And they just couldn't get the airplay in those days. DJs would get fired if they played a Ramones song.
Really?
There were only a few people, like Rodney Bingamheimer, I remember, mm-hmm. that would dare play the Ramones on his show. And there were a few different people that, you know, a lot of college stations would play them.
Right.
But as far as mainstream radio, absolutely not. They couldn't get the airplay.
I mean, there's a long list of bands who are influential that weren't popular in their time, but it's amazing to see that the Ramones seem to get more popular every couple of years with new fans. I mean, you got little kids now are into the Ramones, and they put their songs in Disney movies. I mean, it's crazy now, right?
You know what? I see kids with onesies that have Ramones on it, and then I see 60-year-old people wearing Ramones shirts, and I'm like, who would believe this? You know, I think that they would get a kick out of it if they saw it now, and I'm sad that they're not around to see this.
It is an interesting, interesting story. Obviously, you've got a lot to talk about in the book called Poisoned Heart, I Married Dee Dee Ramone, The Ramones Years, A Punk Love Story. You want to look for the book by the author's name. It's Vera Ramone King. And by the way, great chapter. We don't have time to get into it. Great chapter about how you were held hostage. I looked at a lot of it, and the chapter where you were held hostage inside Phil Spector's home while he twirled guns is definitely something that people are going to want to read. Because I'm glad that guy's behind bars.
I feel sorry for Phil. He was actually a very gracious host, and
unless he killed you,
wait a minute. You were held up in his house, and he had weapons.
No, we were not held up in his house.
All right.
He He wouldn't let us leave, but he didn't put us out, okay?
He didn't what?
There's a difference, okay?
I'm not sure there is.
Mm, all right.
Phil has a house where he has to buzz you out, and he doesn't let you leave unless he wants you to leave. So okay, anyway, interesting stuff. Poison Heart is the name of the book. Vera King, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Beach Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, you bet.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
Rodney, what do you think of
Boars.
Kevin and Bean Show's got the Orchestra de la Raza coming up in about 10 minutes. Really? That's what we're going with? What we're going to make people endure this morning for Green Day tickets?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you're a Green Day fan, you love their music, you want to join us not only for the Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Green Day that airs Monday morning right here, but if you also want to see them at the Forum on August 25th, you can win both at 1-800-520-1067. That's toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on in the world of showbiz?
It's remake-a-mania these days in the entertainment business. It seems to be getting weirder and worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to give you a recap of the current state of wrong-headed ideas for movies and remakes and reboots.
Okay.
Let's just go through a couple, shall we? Just announced the latest motion picture to be redone as a Broadway musical. 1983's cult comedy Valley Girl. Valley Girl, the Broadway musical.
Really?
Really.
Wasn't that a movie first?
Yes. It was a movie in 1983. Valley Girl, starring Nicolas Cage, one of his early film roles.
As the Valley Girl, yes?
As the punk the Valley Girl falls in love with. See, she's, oh my God, tubular with a spoon, gag me at the mall. Mm-hmm. And he's like a punk kid from the wrong side of the tracks. And yet somehow they find love.
Wow.
He works as a... That was his response.
Wow.
I hope they write a song about it.
I do too.
He's crazy.
No,
please
will.
Enjoy Valley Girl the musical. No, but your face is in 3D. The smash hit from that music. Stretch Armstrong. Do you remember that toy from the 70s?
Not really.
Stretch Armstrong was a toy that was made of rubber and filled with some sort of, I'm sure, highly toxic sand silicone type filler.
Sure.
And if you grab Stretch's arms and legs, you could pull him and he would stretch out to ridiculous proportions.
Did he ever go back? Or that he'd be stuck there forever?
And then he would go back again and you could play with him over and over again until the flimsy rubber skin of Stretch Armstrong would crack perforate. And then the highly toxic substance inside him would ooze out and give kid testicular cancer.
Okay.
Now, how is he different from Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah, that's a good question.
He's not.
He was just before.
Mr. Fantastic came first, but this was a toy version of something along those lines where you could play with Stretch Armstrong. Well, that's you'll be happy be to know, a major motion picture.
What?
Starring Stretch Armstrong. Big budget, big screen version of Stretch Armstrong, the toy, is now in the works. Do we need another Hamlet?
No.
Definitely. There hasn't been enough.
Daily Variety has announced a modern-day adaptation set in America of Hamlet, the classic Shakespeare play, starring Emil Hirsch as the gloomy Danish prince.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor, right?
Haven't we already had a modern update of Hamlet? It wasn't that long ago, was it?
It was Baz Luhrmann, wasn't it?
Well, in 1948, we had Laurence Olivier's. In 1969, Nicole Williamson played the role. In 1990, Franco Zeffirelli did one with Mel Gibson as Hamlet. And in 1996, Kenneth Branagh took on Hamlet. Here's the thing. I appreciate Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
I get that it is an important thing to learn.
Right.
As an actor, I can appreciate the people who perform it well.
Right.
Don't need another Hamlet movie. That's what I'm guessing. Nobody wants to go to the movies and see Hamlet. No one.
Mm-mm.
Not interested. Not even Kenneth Branagh wants to see it. He didn't want to see his own.
Wow.
I think they do it just to do it, to say, oh, yes, we're making Hamlet. But I don't think anybody really wants to see it.
Make the place sound highbrow.
And wasn't 10 Things I Like About You, or whatever that movie was called, that was based on Hamlet also, wasn't it?
No.
That was a different Shakespeare.
That was based on, Much Ado About Nothing or one of the other Shakespeare's. I forget which one. But
yeah, it's been done, folks. Move on.
The big screen live action, big budget H.R. Puffin stuff in the works from Sony Pictures.
Now I'm in.
That's not a surprise. If Land of the Lost hits, this one's got to be coming next.
A remake of Total Recall.
Arnold?
The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from 1990. Remaking Total Recall.
You're pretty safe remaking any Arnold movie, by the way, I think.
You think you could do it better the second time around?
Pretty much.
And listen, I understand the argument sometimes. Look, a whole generation never got to appreciate blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, they should have their own version, blah, 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 blah. But in a day and age where DVDs are readily available and
they
people are watching everything on laptops or their watches or they've got an implant in their eye, they can watch a movie on now. I mean, you can see it anywhere. Do we really need a remake of the Scream movies?
Scream?
Remember the Scream movies from yesterday?
Yes.
The Scream movies that came out last week?
Yes.
With David Arquette and Courtney Cox?
Of course.
Yeah.
And Nev Tyler or Nev Campbell?
Campbell, right?
Yeah. Remember those? They were out last month?
Yeah.
They're remaking a new trilogy of Scream movies in the works.
I'm puzzled now.
Are they resetting it again like some of the... Like Batman and some of those, where they'll be
remakes, brand new
remakes.
Versions of the same story. The dude in the scream mask, and
that's good news because I barely remember what happened last week.
You'll barely remember this one too.
Yeah, so you get those as well.
I'm remaking Night at the Museum too.
You should. There's a whole generation this week who needs their own version of that who hasn't seen it yet.
There were people who weren't alive last Friday, and maybe they haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Remakes of Red Dawn, RoboCop, Poltergeist, Dirty Rotting Scoundrels, also all in development currently. So,
Red Dawn, best movie ever.
I know. How do you improve on Red Dawn?
You can't.
Go Wolverines.
You can only go worse, and that'll hurt.
How do you do that?
I want a good movie.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Before I do get to the list, I got this email. It doesn't say what her name is here, but I want to tell you I feel exactly the same way. She says, Ralph, typically June 3rd is something of a national holiday for me. The reason is, it is the one day of the year I can be certain to hear my favorite K&B drop ever. The infamous Made My Foot Loose drop.
Ah,
you see, it's Denise Williams' birthday, and I was so excited to hear when I woke up this morning, yet the 6 o'clock Showbiz Beat came and went without it. Can you please add it to the 7 a.m. report? Please! Well, who am I to deny one of our listeners? Singer Denise Williams celebrates her 58th birthday, and she was a girl who had a hit called Let's Hear It for the Boy, which was featured in the movie Footloose, the very popular movie Footloose starring
Kevin
Bacon. Is Kevin
having trouble finding it? Is that why you're stalling?
Kevin Bacon starred in Footloose, of course, which went on to become a very popular Broadway musical, and then now is being remade back into a movie.
Thumbs up.
With the talented, handsome Chase Crawford will be playing,
too much
playing the lead.
Found
in
the clip.
Ready to go. Tell me when.
Anytime.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
That happened.
Wow.
That happened.
You guys, I've never seen you scramble for so long.
It's great to have a machine there so you can have all those sound clips right at your fingertips, Kevin. You can just access them whenever.
500 bean clips.
Well, something needs to be done there. Needs to be relabeling, needs to be done, or you need to find a better system. Because I couldn't set you up any longer. It wouldn't have been physically possible.
That was as long as anyone
could
possibly.
Quantum physics would have precluded me from going any longer on that setup.
Who knew there were 700 bean drops?
Well, now we know.
Denise Williams had another birthday since the time you announced her birthday the first time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Whatever happened to those guys, you know? You know what I mean? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some tickets to our Breakfast with Green Day? You can hear it right here on Monday morning show, or you can be there live in person if you call right now. It's time to play El Orquestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
That's fine. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Hey!
Oh.
I'm out of time.
So
now
good.
We're out of time.
So good. Everyone's a winner with that.
All right. So, Mike, Dave, welcome. Explain again how this works. We have a bank load of calls ready to win some Green Day tickets. What do they need
to do? They're ready to go.
They are ready.
And they're all Green Day fans, and they're going to identify the Green Day songs that we play. But we're going to do all the instruments with our mouths.
Lyrical part. Usually it's the intro of the song. Is that correct? The very first notes?
Usually, yeah. Okay. 90% of the time it is the intro, the beginning of the song.
All right. Let's begin with June. Hi, June.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You ready for the Orchestra de la Raza?
As ready as I can.
Tell us the name of the song. Here we go.
Here we go, Dave. 2, 3, 4. Ba, 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 boo, ba, boo, ba, 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 boo, ba, boo, ba, 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 ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, We'll see you at Breakfast with Green Day. Okay, we're out of time now. Thanks for playing, everybody.
Thank you. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good. Thank you. Ready for orchestra?
Ready to go.
Here they come. Let's do this, Mike. Wa-na-na, wa-na-na-na, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
folks.
Sorry, that would be...
American Idiot is what that is.
Yeah, that's American Idiot. Sorry, dude. All right, let's go to Danielle, who's our next contestant. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
You ready for the orchestra?
I'm ready as I'm going
to
get.
Feel free, if you recognize the song, to jump right in and end the pain.
No problem.
Okay.
I will.
1, 2, 3, 4. Ba-dum! 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 Ba-dum!
You should know that ba-dum. By now.
Come on, Danielle. This one's
ba-dum,
easy.
Ba-dum! Ba-dum!
Sure should know.
Ba-dum!
Okay, that's fine, gentlemen. Sure. Danielle, what do you think?
You don't know it, you suck.
Welcome to Paradise.
Yep.
Well, if we play this game long enough, eventually it will be Welcome to Paradise, but we're looking for Brain Stew.
That was a pretty good one.
That really sounded just like it. Actually.
That's the first one you guys have ever done that reminded me of the song.
All right.
Shut up.
Let's go to Valerie. Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
Are you ready for the orchestra?
Valerie, you knew the last one. You could tell that was Brain Stew, right?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Okay, let's see how you do with yours.
Boom ba ding a ba ka boom ba ding ba da ka boom ba ding a ba ka boom ba ding ba da ka boom ba ding ba ba boom ba ding ba da ka boom ba ding ba da ka boom ba ding ba ka boom ba ding.
Hope somebody's alarm just went off.
Yeah. And they think K Rock's playing Bobby McFerrin.
Valerie,
what do you think there, Val?
Yes. Is it?
If you say Welcome to Paradise, I'm going to drive you home and hit you in the head.
Is it?
Oh, my God. Can you do it again, please?
Nope.
Nope.
Shut up.
Not a chance.
Pick a song. Pick a song, Mel.
Time of Our Lives?
Yes!
Oh, how about that? What are the chances?
Absolutely just a guess, but it's good enough to get you into our Breakfast with Green Day. Well done, Valerie. I almost feel like we should go out on a high. What do you guys think?
No way. These guys got a lot of music left in. All right, let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Here's your song from the orchestra.
Holiday.
Yes, that is correct. It is Holiday.
Stop.
Stop, indeed. Exactly, yeah. All right, congratulations. You're coming to Breakfast with Green Day. We got time.
Oh, guys.
Just one more, and it's going to be Adam on line 6. Hey, Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to win?
You bet, guys. Morning.
Go ahead and shout out that title as soon as you get it. The guys will stop.
1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to Paradise.
Don't know what I'm going to do to you. that was Longview we were looking for.
That's not correct. That was. Should we go out on that one or should we
go? Yes, we should go out on that one. We should go out on that
one. Really?
One more time.
I'm looking at the clock. We've got a very busy Adam Sessler's here from G4. We got a lot of stuff to cover with him.
Why take one call when we can take one too many? That is
your motto.
Albert, hi.
Hi.
We'd like to go out on a winner, if you don't mind. So. Here's the orchestra, and then you give us the correct title.
All right.
Here we go.
What did you say?
What was that? I couldn't. Hold on.
Oh. Come on.
Just give us a title and then we'll move on.
Yes!
What did
Remarkably,
say?
It was Welcome to Paradise.
Thank God.
Somebody was going to be right if they kept saying Welcome to Paradise at some point.
I actually knew them all except American Idiot, dude. I'll be honest.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, you're going to be at the breakfast. You can help us ask the questions. It's going to air on Monday. For those of you that don't get in, you can listen to our breakfast with Green Day. Two people who will not be there, the Orchestra de la Raza.
Oh!
Thank you, gentlemen.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
King of the Nerds is here, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Adam Sessler, the host and managing editor of X-Play on the G4, and I mean that with all due respect and love. How are you, Adam?
It's the only royalty title I can probably ever achieve. So
King
I'm happy
of the Nerds. You have a great show on the G4 and are always kind enough to come on our show and talk about new games and new things going on in your world. And there's a lot of that going on right now. But we have to start with the E3 Expo, which I know the E3 Expo has been around, but this year it seems like it's getting all kinds of press. Is it really that exceptional this time around?
Yeah, especially because the past 2 years, nothing really happened at E3. They tried to tone it down because attendance had gotten too big. And really, it was like kind of off in a closet at the Santa Monica Airport 1 year.
And that's
there was
bad.
No sense of celebration. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was quite bad. It's back. All the companies are putting millions of dollars into their press conferences and their booths there. There's a real sense of energy and excitement, not to mention some very interesting things got announced over the past 48 hours. Like there's... Motion control. Microsoft has something they're calling Project Natal. And literally, it's an RGB camera, and there's an infrared sensor. You don't have a controller. It can just scan your body, and it knows where all your joints are. And you just move, and you control the game with your body. I was actually playing the game Burnout Paradise, where I was driving a car, holding my hands in front of me as if I had a wheel. And my foot was on the ground, and when I went forward with my foot, I accelerated, and when I went back, I braked.
Is it accurate?
It was so accurate.
Wow.
I mean, yes, that's the thing. Everyone said, is it one-to-one? Is it really that responsive? There was another game that was far more simple. I was hitting a ball against blocks. That might have been a little less responsive, but I also think they had just put that together in the past few days.
It seems like even the phone systems where they say, if you'd like an operator, say operator now, and you say operator, and then it goes, okay, let's go to number four. And you go, no, I'm an operator.
So I did not understand your response.
So this video system, it will watch your face.
Watching your face.
Your whole body.
Yeah, it watches your whole body. It can feel your head. The most exceptional one was, I don't even know if it has a name, but it was a boy. It was a digital boy named Noah.
Okay.
And I was in a room with a woman who had established a relationship.
Are we still talking about video games?
We are.
Okay.
And this is
like a movie you saw once.
I'm going to warn everybody right now.
Okay.
But the boy knows about 500 words.
Okay.
And his name is Noah. But he also can register the timbre of your voice. And so when I told him a joke... He kind of laughed, but he didn't laugh really hard because
it wasn't
he didn't
that
recognize
funny?
It wasn't that funny either. he didn't really recognize my voice. So like an 8-year-old boy would, he was like, ha ha ha. But then when the woman next to me who had the relationship with the boy talked to him, he was far more responsive.
Okay,
so
stop
he,
right there.
So would he
stop
get
right there.
More responsive to you as you talked then? He
if
would...
I was there longer, that would have happened. I only got about 10-15 minutes.
Is this the AI Spielberg movie? Is that what we're talking about? Is that where we're headed now? Is basically a fake kid?
I think Skynet's about 2 years away.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all over.
Good luck. We're excited about that.
Now, wasn't Steven Spielberg actually there for this? I mean, he's really into this sort of thing, right?
Yes. It was kind of amazing. Microsoft, marketing magicians that they are, they started their show with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr talking about the Rock Band Beatles game. They ended it with Spielberg not saying he's making a game with this new technology, walking onto stage and more or less endorsing it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean that shows you how much Microsoft believes in it,
yeah.
And that obviously Spielberg doesn't do that lightly.
How far into the future are we looking before it's
I can have sex with it?
That's not. Was not
I mean,
my
clearly
question.
That's what we're all thinking. Is if you're getting to this point, they've got to start doing it with Asia girls.
You
how long
have
until
to
that?
Have a certain controller to pull that one off.
No, but before normal people can afford it. I mean, are we talking 3 years? Are we talking 3 months?
Well, no. If Microsoft put this out for the Xbox 360, it is so normal people can't afford it.
Okay.
They would not commit to a date. I imagine we're going to see something very concrete come next year. Now, Sony, on the other hand, also has motion control.
Same thing, okay.
Right. Now, it doesn't have the voice recognition, but and you use an implement more like the Nintendo Wiimote. Mm. But the level of precision, they could write as if it was a pencil. And they were showing that there's very dynamic ways of using that in the games that, say, you guys and I like to play Halos type, you know, those type shooter games.
Right.
They said that that will be ready come spring of next year. So we're about to see everybody having motion control. I assume by the end of 2010, we're going to see this all over the place.
When you get shot, will there be an actual bullet go into your body?
Hopefully not.
That's the future.
Because if you ever see me play a game, I'm dead quickly.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and I don't know if this is a gamer question or not, but sometimes when I'm watching a show on TV, they have some sort of a super advanced war room where a guy is waving his arms in the air, and every time he moves an arm, he moves another screen that seems to be floating in front of him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like Minority Report.
Yeah.
Minority Report's a good example, yeah. I mean, is that the same kind of technology we're talking about, where you wave your hand and that makes something happen on the other side? And is something like that possible now?
Well, no. With the Microsoft Project Natal, I'm tired of saying that. You can also use it just to scan the menus.
Oh,
the Xbox 360. So the very, you know, that Minority Report, you know, motion, just going through your Netflix movies. I was just going like this.
You just move your finger in the air and it moves.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Awesome.
We are living in the future.
That sounds cool.
We can all get fat now. We don't need
that has not been a problem.
All right, we have so many other questions, not just about what's going on at the E3, but about some just mega blockbuster games that are coming out this year. I mean, I guess you're right. The reason these companies are putting so much time and energy and money into it is, let's face it, they're making more money than most of the movies that are coming out these days. I mean, it's big, big, big business. And we'll catch up with our friend Adam Sessler. He is the host and managing editor of X-Play on G4, an awesome network. Check it out. We'll come back with more after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. On the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Adam Sessler is in the studio. He is the host and managing editor of X-Play on G4. You had a long day at the L.A. Convention Center yesterday for this E3. What were you saying? You were down there like 13 hours, something like that?
Well, there was also these press conferences. Both Nintendo and Sony had theirs, and then we had to quickly run over to the convention center. I wolfed down some food, and then we did 3 hours live of bringing people on to demo their games.
Okay, I have to ask this question, then we'll talk about more of the stuff that you've seen and what you're excited about. A lot of hotties this year, from what I understand. I heard Aisha Tyler was there, Olivia Munn was there. Is it just a geek fest when those girls show up?
I was on camera with Olivia Munn as she's on G4, so it's so funny to hear of her in that context.
But she's the real deal. She's awesome with awesome sauce on top, right?
And you know what?
Will you stop saying that?
What? It's true. Look at her.
Awesome
listen to her.
With awesome sauce. What are you, 11?
She's amazing. Amazing.
Yes, exactly.
Aisha Tyler is the real deal as well. She really does like Halo, I would have to say. Okay. So you're from people who are speculating? Yes.
You were talking off the air about Brutal Legend. Tell us about that.
Okay. This is awesome with awesome sauce. Sorry.
No, stop it.
It's a rock and roll fantasy game. It's a heavy metal fantasy game by this great guy named Tim Schafer. And Jack Black is the character design and the voice of this Eddie Riggs. He's a roadie. He goes back to the age of metal because of his magic belt buckle. And he has to help all of these human beings, some of whom look like kind of Roger Daltrey mixed with Robert Plant, to organize the humans against the evil demons. And it's got like Lemmy's doing voices in it, Rob Halford, Ozzy Osbourne.
This sounds like it ought to be a Tenacious D video game.
It is. Obviously, Tenacious D has an influence on it. The voice acting from Jack Black is hysterically funny.
He's the best.
But the imagination you see on screen, because every setting is kind of based on a heavy metal album cover. So there's a mountain of skulls, and there's sexy nurses, and there's hot rods, and it all makes sense in this kind of metalish way.
Do they have subtitles for Ozzy? So that you can see what he's saying?
You know what? It's funny. I just heard Ozzy for the first time in the game, mm-hmm. and he did drop the F-bomb, and I was able to make that out. That's what I look for.
Excellent. All right, let's talk about some of the other games that are on the way. Beatles Rock Band?
Beatles Rock Band. This thing is going to sell itself, but they're still going to do a heavy marketing push. It comes out 9/9/09, just so no one forgets.
Number 9. See?
What's neat about this is I was wondering up until this point, because the Beatles were never known for their virtuosity in playing guitar. It was just the amazing elegance of their songs.
Right.
So how is it going to become a challenging game? Well, if you have to sing and play guitar, that means harmonizing with your friends. That's a whole different level of challenge.
So you have to do both. You can't just play guitar.
No, I mean, if you want to have fun, if you want to get something out of the game, the other thing is, if it's just a karaoke machine of Beatles songs, I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with that either. But there really is some fun challenge for people that really want to get something out of that game.
That's an interesting point because it's not like learning Slayer. I mean, anyone, you can be 5 years old and play Yesterday by the Beatles.
Exactly.
Their songs are not that tough a lot of times.
It's coming up with Yesterday that really is the genius.
Sure,
that's the
right. That's the right point.
What about some of the shooter games? What are you looking forward to?
Everybody is talking about Modern Warfare 2. This is the follow-up to Call of Duty 4. Now, last year there was Call of Duty World at War. That was World War 2. We're talking about the one that was in the modern setting.
Okay.
This game makes your eyes bleed.
Is that good? Is that what you want?
Yes, that is a good thing.
All right.
They are so crisp. Everything is so kind of real. What we saw yesterday was in a kind of a snow setting. And just the way the snow was falling, and it made it difficult to see, enemies that might be 40 feet in front of you.
So you could kind of see something was there, but you couldn't tell what.
And that ratchets up the tension. And they're adding a new element, such as, like a real war zone where there are civilians, and you have to be, conscious of the fact that there are bad guys, but that doesn't mean you shoot everybody.
No, you shoot everybody. That's the whole point of playing these games.
What does that mean that you shoot everybody? Does that send out some kind of a thing to Homeland Security that you're a problem?
I always wonder. That's why I take it off Xbox Live.
Now, Modern Warfare 2, is this an adult game because of
the very
blood
much
and
so.
War?
Very
Let's talk
much
about
so.
The law, the California law, and I'm guessing it's probably the same.
Oh, you mean good old Leland Yee.
In most states.
Yeah, every state tries to do this. This law that makes it a crime to sell someone under the age of 18 an M-rated game, because M-rated games are recommended. And I mean recommended for people 17 and over.
Right.
There's this thing called the First Amendment, and it actually works for people below the age of 18 as well as above the age of 18.
So they can't really do that?
No. It gets shot down in every single court of law. Now, Leland has tried this before, and it didn't work. He has tried to sort of jerry-rig this bill so that it tries to circumvent some of the arguments that the courts have put forth to prevent it from going, into law. But It's not going to work, and it's a waste of time. As last I checked, California was kind of bankrupt, and I think we should be dealing with that rather than keeping games out of the hands of kids.
So 6-year-olds can still get Modern Warfare 2.
No.
I'm just checking.
The thing is that it's up to the store. The store should have the discretion to do that, and most stores do.
Should be like a movie theater where it's not the government getting involved. It should just be the movie theater's policy who they'll sell a ticket to an R-rated movie.
Right. Leland Yee, just like people said about rock and roll 30, 40 years ago, thinks there's something uniquely dangerous about video games. And, they said it about comic books.
They said about music.
Exactly. Everything, 30 years from now, we're going to look back and chuckle.
Yeah.
All right. One last question, and I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, but obviously there was a lot of press this week over DJ Hero, and it's unveiling the other night with that big show with Jay-Z and Eminem. This is the Guitar Hero for people who want to be hip-hop stars and want to mix like a DJ. Have you seen or played with that yet?
Yes, we have. It's really neat. It's a very small unit. Mm-hmm. It's one turntable, but they have sort of buttons on it that allow for both turntables to mix back and forth.
Okay.
And it's very complex. At the hardest setting, there is so much information coming down that screen. And I think for the same way that Guitar Hero made me appreciate people who play guitar, I now have a better understanding of what a DJ does to mix all those tracks together.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's a bunch of new stuff from Eminem and Jay-Z, I guess, that's included with this game. Eventually, they may release that down the road. But there's just some – just some mad beats on this game.
Wow. No. And there's a lot of new mixes from people like DJ Shadow. Like, it's very original music.
When does that come
on it? That should be coming out in the fall.
You have a website that has all of this information on it?
Yes, I was about to say. If you want to see videos of Brutal Legend or Modern Warfare, G4TV.com. There's great high-def videos of this. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Adam is the host and managing editor of X-Play. What's your schedule like today if people want to tune in and see what's new?
Well, start watching us. It would be 6 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. on the West Coast. We're going to go for 3 hours. Got some awesome games today that I cannot wait to show off.
Fantastic.
Adam, you're great, man. Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.
This afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, we've got some live music, and it's going to be by a little band called The Offspring, which should be pretty cool.
Up-and-coming new band from Orange County. I hope they make it. They seem like good kids.
This afternoon at 5 o'clock, Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 7:58.
Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up in about 10 minutes, by the way, from The Hangover, Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper are going to be here. Ralph, what you talking about?
I'm talking about Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
And another lawsuit.
Love that.
For our boy Sasha. This one's kind of sad, though.
Oh.
He, of course, has the Bruno movie coming out soon. And while he was filming, he was told, he went to a bingo game that was being called at a home for the elderly in Palmdale, California.
Right.
Now, Rochelle Olsen, who was running the game, was told a celebrity was going to come in to call the numbers. Bruno showed up, who she describes as an extreme, outrageous, offensive caricature of a gay man dressed in sexually revealing clothing with an Austrian accent.
That's pretty accurate.
That is pretty accurate.
That's exactly.
She's good. She said that Bruno used vulgar and offensive language when calling the numbers. She tried to take the mic from him. A physical struggle ensued. She said Cohen offensively touched, pushed, and battered her.
Oh, please.
When the alleged assault was over, Rochelle Olsen said she went into another room where she started sobbing uncontrollably. Then she passed out, falling forward onto a thinly covered concrete slab, causing her to hit her head.
Oh, no.
She has since been diagnosed with 2 brain bleeds.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
That have left her confined to a wheelchair and walker ever since the incident.
Okay, but if you go into another room, sit down and cry, and then fall, that's not on Bruno.
But
he didn't push her to the cement.
If Bruno was the cause of the horrific incident that caused her to be traumatized.
No, I don't know.
I rule for the defendant.
I'm not buying
sorry.
That one either.
Yeah.
I should
just
be a judge.
Saying there may be more of a case here than in most of these that seem to be.
Yeah, this isn't just I was embarrassed. Or,
no, this
yeah,
wasn't. Exactly. It made me look bad, and I have, you know, well, the pain and suffering from humiliation, that kind of stuff. This woman is physically injured, so it may be have a little bit more of validity. She is suing NBC Universal, Cohen, and anyone else she can find. No word yet how much she wants, but I'm guessing it's a ass load of money.
Sure. Did he lose any of those lawsuits on the?
Gaga has made an interesting pitch to the Jonas Brothers. She says she wants to have a foursome.
Yeah!
What?
She wants to have a foursome with the Jonas Brothers.
Aren't they the ones that have that
chastity?
Purity pledge?
Yes, the purity pledge.
Contract?
Yes.
Yes. Now, this has been a problem because, as you said, they are very public about their chastity. However, she said she is undeterred and would love to get it on with the Joe Bros.
Did you just call them the Joe Bros?
I did.
Yeah, don't do that.
So wait. Joe Jonas is not going to have sex with Taylor Swift and decide to break his chastity for Lady Gaga?
And his 2 brothers.
Right.
Maybe
hey,
the brothers.
Jonas Brothers assholes!
Maybe that would swing his way. You know, I'm just saying. I think they're awesome with awesome sauce on top.
Yeah, that's not...
what?
Let's not say that.
Banned. That is banned from our show.
I was Thank talking you. About Olivia Munn.
Banned
Tell me that's not appropriate.
From our show. That phrase is banned from our
Olivia
show.
Olivia Munn is awesome with awesome sauce on top.
That might be the case, but those words are banned.
What's in awesome sauce?
Something awesome.
Remember Bruce Springsteen who had that battle with Ticketmaster in his home state of New Jersey?
Yeah.
His local congressman got on board because Ticketmaster was screwing people over, putting tickets on sale that didn't exist. Funneling them off to their TicketsNow.com sister site, which is the resale site for marked up ticket prices.
Yeah, that was highly suspect at best.
Well, the legislation that is now being introduced into Congress to counter that has been named after Bruce. It's called the Boss Act.
Nice.
How about that? Have a law named after you.
That's pretty cool.
Apparently, the Boss Act will require all ticket sellers to inform just how many tickets they have available for purchase before they go on sale.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, would that be great?
That's a good idea.
How many are being held back for fan clubs, pre-sales, and the artists themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And ticket brokers would not be allowed to buy any tickets during the first 48 hours of a primary sale.
Wow.
Well, that's impossible to make happen. It's a nice effort, but you
I
can't
hope
do
not.
It.
I hope not, too, but if they do it, and that's the law, then at least you could prosecute them for something.
Why are you communist?
Right now, you can't prosecute them for anything.
Why is being a communist?
I'm not a communist.
Because he loves scalpers. He loves this. He loves the fact that fans get screwed. He loves it.
That's what it is.
He thinks it's awesome with awesome sauce on top.
Scalpers take as many people as they need to buy as many tickets as they can. You guys know how that works.
Yeah.
Does Mr. Springsteen have a comment on the new law?
Nope. He's been mum.
Good for you.
Oddly enough. And are you familiar with Melissa Gilbert? She was a sweet little girl on Little House on the Prairie.
Sure.
She was half pint?
She was half pint on that show.
Sure.
Later became president of the Screen Actors Guild. She's writing her autobiography. And she said that when she found out her fiancé, Rob Lowe, she was engaged to Rob Lowe one time.
I didn't know that.
Was having an affair behind her back with Natasha Kinski.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah.
She got back at Rob Lowe by banging his best friend, John Cusack.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
She's not the sweet little girl from the prairie at all.
Wow.
She's half-ho. It's not half pint.
Who loses? in all of that?
I don't know.
Everyone seems happy.
Everybody seems to win.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick up the book now. Now I got something I want to read. As opposed to, Michael Land, it was nice again today. His hair is even longer and he wore a big hat.
How weird would it be to be John Cusack and have Melissa Gilbert knock on the door and go, look, I don't even want to do this, but I'm really pissed at your Fred Rob Lowe, so do me.
Rob's really cheesed me off. Let's get naked. All right.
You insist.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Tony Curtis, legendary actor Tony Curtis. Father, of course, of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Dude.
She's not a dude. You ever seen any Tony Curtis's films, Kevin?
No.
You ever seen Something Like It Hot with Jack Lemmon?
Nope.
Oh, that's a great film. You should see that.
No.
Yeah, he'll never.
No. Right.
It's great, though.
It's a great film.
Episode one, Mad Men.
It might be.
He's still on that episode one.
It might be great.
That's true. He's 84 years old today. Chuck Barris, who was the host of The Gong Show, created the Newlywed Game and the Dating Game. He is 80 years old. He was also a CIA assassin.
That's
right. He was a kill for the government.
That's true.
Singer Ian Hunter is 70 years old today. Scott Valentine from Family Ties.
Ow.
Played Nick on that show.
He is
51 years old. Guitarist Kerry King of Slayer. Celebrates his 45th birthday. Newsman Anderson Cooper is 42 years old today. James Purifoy from Rome and A Knight's Tale is 45. And Denise Williams, Niecy, as she's called by many douchebag DJs.
I don't remember what song she did.
She had a hit called Let's Hear It for the Boy.
You don't say that.
They were from the Footloose soundtrack. Footloose.
You got guests.
Yeah. 95. PGC. I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
That happened.
Bean, I reject you totally.
What a dumb douchebag.
That's awesome with awesome sauce on top. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Hangover is the movie opening up everywhere this weekend. We are so excited to welcome Ed Helms to the studio here this morning, along with his friend Bradley Cooper. Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Good
to see you.
Morning.
Kevin, in particular, man, he's had some weekends that your movie looks like you experience in Las Vegas, and he just can't wait to see what's up.
Yeah, this looks fantastic.
Thanks.
Now, you guys play the friends, right? Neither of you is the groom?
That's right, yeah. Justin Bartha plays the groom.
Justin Bartha is the groom, and he's missing for a large portion of the movie.
Okay. And that's good or bad?
Well, it's good for us.
Good for you.
Good for the story. It's a fun
bad
movie.
Bad for him as an actor. Yeah.
it is funny, and I'm sure you guys get into this, that some of the stuff that people come up with that they're determined they have to do for a bachelor party, it has to be so crazy and outrageous. There are some people who go into it with, this needs to be the biggest party I'll ever experience in my life because I'm about to walk down the aisle.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, I think if this movie does take off, I think it's going to spur a lot of people trying to one-up the movie, which is actually a very scary prospect.
Yeah, that is very. I have this hunch that the set that we shot on, we shot at Caesar's Palace, but the actual hotel room, it was a set in here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to somebody last night, I bet Caesar's Palace is frantically trying to build a suite to duplicate the one that we
to take advantage of it.
Right,
yeah, this is the Hangover suite.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course.
But then people will probably try to trash it. So.
Yeah, that would probably happen,
now,
too.
I guess it's an R-rated movie, too, which is awesome, because it seems like every studio wants to water down a comedy for the kids.
No, we got boobies and bad words and all kinds of stuff.
Male genitalia flailing around.
Yes. Well, I don't know that we need that so much.
Oh, it's there.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a gay porn. This movie is, yeah.
Didn't realize that. We have a clip, and I want to play it because it kind of gives you the idea of guys trying to piece together exactly what happened.
All right, what's the last thing we remember doing last night?
Well, the first thing was we were on the roof, and we were having those shots of Jaeger.
And then we had dinner at the Palm, right?
That's right. And then we played craps at the Hard Rock, and I think Doug was there.
That sounds right. No. He definitely was.
What is this?
Oh, my God.
That is my tooth. Why do you have that?
Hey, it works as a radio play.
It does.
We're trying to bring back clips on the radio of TV and movies.
I'm the idiot that was looking around for the screen when I was playing.
That dry heave actually gave me a real dry heave.
Is that right? Just now?
Just now, yeah.
Hopefully that happened for a lot of our audience as well.
Have you guys ever had a period of time that you could not account for? Has that ever happened? I know we need to talk to our listeners about this because I know they've got amazing stories. But tell me about you guys.
Unfortunately, I suffered from two things as a drinker. One was I never threw up.
Really?
Which, yeah, maybe four or five times in my life of drinking. And and the other thing is I remembered everything. I never blacked out, which is I don't think is an asset.
That's
I
see not that, good. Yeah, you don't want that.
No, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I am the opposite.
You've never had a drink?
Not thrown up from drinking. And I'm not remembering this conversation. As we
went on my bachelor party to Las Vegas, and our boss was there. And he woke up in the sunshine on the next day and was laying against the fountain at Caesars.
Out
in front.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And found his wallet with a whole bunch of receipts for taking out cash that he had none of.
Wow.
And didn't remember.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Mr. Weatherby.
Both of those things happen in the movie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's yep.
It's art imitating life.
All right. I know you guys have talked about it a lot, but how can you not? We have to ask about Mike Tyson. I mean, this dude is not an actor. How did he end up in your movie?
He auditioned, and no.
No way.
No, he put himself on tape at home. We basically had to figure out the dilemma of the tiger. Because there's a tiger in the bathroom of the hotel room when we wake up.
Well, of course there is. That goes without saying.
So, right. So you think Siegfried and Roy, or
Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson, that's
who allegedly had. Actually, now we know at one point he owned about six tigers. I think Todd just came up with the storyline that it's his tiger that we steal, and he was amazing. I mean, the guys. Did you guys see the documentary?
Love
it. It's unbelievable. That's
really
the guy that's the guy that we met. You know, it's almost that he's incapable of saying anything inauthentic. So all you have to do is throw a camera in front of him, and it's interesting.
We talked to him about that. If you haven't seen Tyson, that's the name of it. It's a documentary, and it's just him talking about his life, and he is fascinating.
It's something else. Mm-hmm. I was blown away when I saw it. To see somebody, there's maybe like 10 people that famous in the past 50 years, right? And to see them be so candid about their life, it's shocking.
You don't ever see that.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Well. So it's also hard to come in 3 days and sort of seamlessly weave your way into a comedy is very difficult.
Is he a good actor?
Because he isn't capable of saying anything sort of false, he's kind of perfect. You know, he's playing himself, and he did it in a completely authentic way. And he came up with a couple of...
There's a couple of jokes in
there. He ad-libbed them?
Yeah.
Really?
No, but the funniest thing was when he commented on Todd. Todd was teaching him how to throw a punch.
This is your director, right?
Yeah. And what did he say? He's like, wait a second. I'm getting taught how to throw a punch by the captain of the Jewish debate team. And we were all looking at him like, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
But even if it wasn't,
you laughed because it's Mike Tyson.
Right, exactly.
So it was just a plus that it was funny.
Yeah. How about that?
Now, I don't know how to ask this question because obviously you have great affection for the guy, but you have to be careful with a guy like Mike Tyson that you're not making fun of him. Like you're not kind of taking advantage of his naivete, right? Well, I mean, he has to be in on the joke, right?
Well, he's... he absolutely was in on the joke, and the best thing I think for all of us was that one of Mike Tyson's favorite movies is Old School, and that of course is one of Todd Phillips' earlier movies. So when Mike showed up, it was clear that he immediately trusted the director Todd, and he was sort of on board to do whatever. And Todd was very explicit, like, you know, we are having fun with your persona. But it's not. But you're not the target of our show.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the difference. I mean, the joke is not on. It's not. We're not making fun of Tyson in the movie.
Because none of you want to get beaten up,
right? No, but it's true that it's sort of not. That's not sort of the joke of the movie,
right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He loves Old School. Do you remember last week? He was like,
"No, I know." He's like, "It's not as good as Old School." He's like, "Hey, guy, hold on."
We were doing press with Mike, and he was like, "There's no way this movie's better than Old School."
That's how you want to sell it,
exactly. He's like Vince Vaughn, and Luke. And I was like, wait, guys.
Wait, Mike, you're in this movie. Come on.
And this one's coming out now.
That one is already out. Tell me about one more question before the break, and then we'll come back with our guests, Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms in the studio, talking about The Hangover, which opens everywhere Friday. Tell me about the logistics of working with a tiger.
It should never be done.
Yeah,
I'd say
there are no logistics, and that's the really stupid
part. The bottom
line
is you can't tame a tiger, which is proven again and
again. So, what's it like on the set? Like just off screen, are there 30 guys with blowguns or what?
You think so? But they're like four guys with leashes.
Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah,
and like
it wasn't movie magic. You were in the room with the tiger.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. And we kept saying to Todd Phillips, you know, we can CGI this, right? I mean, I'm Jurassic Park, T4,
green screen.
Yeah, I mean. We've seen. He goes, no, man, you got to. The tiger's got to be in the bathroom. Like, wait, what? No, I don't think that's true.
No, the tiger. That's how Todd talks too.
He's like, look, sorry, man, this is the way it's going to be.
So, how close do you get to the tiger?
really close,
man. I actually fed it at one point chicken blood, which never made it into the movie.
A baby bottle full of chicken blood. I love this story. I was sitting right next to.
How does serious? A baby bottle of chicken blood not make it into the movie?
Yeah,
thank you. Obviously, my performance was bad.
Well, the best part is the trainers are like. The tiger's name was Katie, and you just hear the trainers be like, Katie, 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 Katie. And I'm convinced that tiger had no idea what his name was. That tiger did whatever it wanted the whole time.
Tigers don't strike me as a Katie.
No.
Katie's a cute name. Tigers are not.
What's the relationship like with the trainers and the tiger? Is it one of these deals where the tiger will come up and roll on his back and the trainer will rub his tummy? And
yeah, actually it is.
But my hunch is that tiger trainers... Are just people
die young?
People who love who like live on adrenaline.
Yeah, it's like extreme sports.
Need to be afraid all the time because it's not. You can't train a tiger. You just
right. So I mean, so what do they do then?
They have a lot of meat with them that they put on the ends of sticks and
just
sort of
feed them bison.
Yeah, pretty much
and run.
I mean, it's like that guy in the grizzly bear movie, right? You can think all you want that we've got this special bond, but one day, you know, bear plus human equals bear.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just the math of it.
Well,
so.
And it's just odds. It's just playing against the odds. It's like eventually, she's going to do something.
The whole time you feel like you're lucky.
Did somebody screw up a scene and then everybody's we got to do it again with a tiger.
My favorite part was there's a scene in which I toss a steak to the tiger, and we did. A whole bunch of takes, and a few takes in, Todd was like, try to hit him in the head with the steak. And I was like,
Are you messing with me? Do you ask him?
And he was like, no, come on, it'll be hilarious. Just try to hit him in the head with the steak. And I was like, I don't really want to do that, but I'll ask the trainer. So I'll go to the trainer, hey, what'll happen if I hit the tiger in the head with the steak? And he goes, I don't know, let's try it. Like, oh, okay, great. We'll just go for it.
I'm out on I don't know. At that point,
exactly.
No thanks. All right.
I know that you guys love acting and the job is fun a lot of the time, but there have to be mornings you wake up and you go, I can't believe this is what I'm doing for a living today, is throwing steak at a tiger's head.
I mean, it sounds hokey, but every day on this movie was like, woohoo, I get to go to work.
Yeah, and everything's downhill from feeding a tiger meat.
Yeah,
at that point, you're out. All right, the movie is Hangover, The Hangover. Ed Helms is here. Bradley Cooper is here. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
Hey, remember yesterday when Will Ferrell was in here and he was telling everybody to go see Land of the Lost?
Yeah, it's no good.
He's wrong. He's wrong about that. What you want to do is go see The Hangover this weekend. That's the movie you want to go see because Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper are in the studio right now talking about that
film. I love the allegiance. That's fantastic.
Well, look, there's 3 days, Friday, Saturday,
right.
Sunday.
Who's the movie tomorrow? Right?
This is the best of, this is the best world, though, because usually if you can find one movie a weekend, you're happy.
I know.
Right.
I mean, you know, for this one to have two, that's the greatest thing in the world. Ed Helms is here. Bradley Cooper is here. The Hangover. One last Mike Tyson question.
Okay.
Did he know the song In the Air Tonight? Or did
he did.
He did know that song.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like the kind of music that he wouldn't necessarily listen to.
Everybody knows that song.
That's what I thought.
Well,
I don't know.
But the best was there was about a week in terms of duration period where they didn't know if we were going to get the rights to the song.
Ah, for the movie. Oh, right, because you have to pay for it.
So we were just coming up with...
What other songs
like,
would he
Don't have? Worry, Be Happy. but the best was what was the Billy Joel song?
Yeah, Zach and I were advocating Allentown.
Yes.
Tyson singing Allentown.
Is there video of Mike Tyson singing anything except for... This one in the air tonight.
Not for this movie. But there's a video of Todd just shot the whole song, him singing the whole song.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There's a special trailer it's sort of like a music video of just Mike singing the song.
All right. Speaking of songs, Ed, I have to ask you. You play Stu in the movie. One of the bride's. What are they called? Groomsmen.
Yeah.
And at some point, are you singing a song to a chicken? Did that happen?
I never thought of it as two a ticket.
Yes and no. I do
explain,
sing,
please.
I do sing a song in the movie. There's a little musical interlude, and there is a chicken sitting on the piano as I am playing and singing the song. It is not addressed to the chicken,
okay,
to be clear.
Is there anyone else there who it is clearly addressed to?
It's just, you know what?
It's the chicken by default, if there's not.
In the scene, Zach and Bradley's characters are in the room with me, but it's kind of like it's a little breath outside the narrative of the movie where we're sort of waiting for something to happen and mm-hmm. killing time, and I'm ostensibly sort of noodling around on the piano.
So you're singing to the chicken.
So I'm singing to the chicken.
All right.
You know, you're kind of turning into a little bit of a rock star with your fierce banjo playing over there on the office,
sure.
And now you're playing piano and singing to the chicken.
Yeah, he's a great musician.
Thanks.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, thanks. That's nice of you to say, Bradley, because we shared a trailer on the movie, and I played my banjo every day.
Oh, what a nightmare. How? Really?
Banjo doesn't get old after a while at all.
Really? Don't you go, stop it!
Yeah. There's only about five people on planet Earth that aren't annoyed by banjo, and I'm
luckily,
one of them.
Luckily, I am one of them, too.
Is Bradley one of them, too?
Is Steve Martin as good as people say he is, or are we just nice to him because he's Steve Martin?
Who's Steve Martin?
No, Steve Martin is awesome.
Is he great?
On
the banjo.
I think he's not only a great player, but an awesome songwriter. He's that new album, The Crow.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
I mean, it's good. So good. And, yeah, what can you say? He's like, he's an...
Who are you patting yourself after if you play the banjo? There can't have been a lot of people who...
Well, I mean, if you're a banjo fan, if you're a fan of that music, there are a lot of great players.
Are there banjo fans?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Totally, yeah.
You know what?
Hey,
this interview's over.
Okay, sorry.
What's our time schedule? Are we saying goodbye to the guys? Do they
I
have
hope
to go,
not. Can we stick
can
around
we
for one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're hanging out. Sure. Let's hang out.
Because I got more questions about The Hangover that opens Friday, and we need to talk about Zach, who is my secret man crush.
Oh, me too.
Because I know he couldn't be here today, but the guy is just...
No, it's insane.
Amazing, and I want to hear about that, too. When we return, Ed Helms, Bradley Cooper are here. The Hangover is the movie. We'll be right back after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right. We're talking about the movie The Hangover that opens up everywhere on Friday, directed by the dude who brought you Old School. What else is Todd Phillips done? He's done a couple other movies I know, too, right?
Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. School for Road Trip. Yeah. He did this great documentary called Hated about G.G. Allen, this punk rocker from Detroit that he did while he was in the NYU.
And, of course, Frat House on HBO, too.
Great great director, fantastic cast. We've got two of the guys here, Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper, who are in this wedding party. The groom goes missing, and then they try to piece together what happened the night before in Las Vegas. But your little friend Zach Galifianakis is not here today.
No, he's in New York shooting an HBO show, Jason Schwartzman HBO show.
He's a hardworking man.
Yeah, he is. He is unbelievably funny and unbelievably difficult to figure out. He's so unconventional that I was almost – it's kind of like a Crispin Glover used to be. The guy's crazy, but every once in a while he does a quote-unquote mainstream movie.
Right.
I was a little bit surprised to see Zach in a movie like this that looks like it's made for the people.
Or wait for G-Force to come out.
Well, here, if you don't know Zach Galifianakis – if you're not a fan of Zach Galifianakis, then it means you don't know him, because as soon as you know him, you're a fan. He's
well, it's a crush for Bean, though.
Yeah,
it is.
And it
crush.
Was for me too. Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, no, he first of all, he's a wonderful man. He really is like just a sweet, sensitive.
He's our little garden gnome.
He really is,
and we love him.
He's got a great family. He's Greek. He's the best, man. And on top of that, he is a genius. He really is. He's a genius. The
but
stuff
it doesn't seem like he likes conventional laughs, though. That's what's weird for me to figure out about him being in this movie, where funny stuff happens.
It's not a
conventionally comedic movie.
His character isn't at all conventional, and it's something like extremely rare and special that only he could do. I think Zach has like some sort of appeal, indie appeal, and I don't think that this movie will
sway that
will hurt that at all, just because as a character he maintains all that edge in a fun way.
He looks miserable and tortured in every scene that I've seen in the clips. Like, he can't believe this is his life. And how does he end up with a baby strapped to him? How did that happen?
That's by his choice. Actually, the thing that I love about Alan, the character that he creates, is almost the antithesis of his sort of on-stage persona that Zach has. I mean, Alan is just... So, yeah, I can't wait for you to see it. Being a fan of his, you're really going to love seeing what he does in this movie.
Oh, Zach.
Zach.
We Bradley and I went to North Carolina where Zach has a farm for
New
Year's.
Yeah.
All hung out. Good times.
He went for, to a farm where?
He has a farm in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
He
invited, let me give you the address.
For New Year's. Yes, please.
Guys, let's go on Google Earth and figure out exactly where
it is.
It
doesn't sound like the New Year's type of place.
No.
That's the only reason I bring that up.
No, no, no. Yeah, it was like a cabin with about 8 people for 2 days.
Wow.
Three
what
died.
What a weird... I mean... You guys sound like guys who are now going to be friends for life as a result of making this movie together. That's
Amen.
What it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, it actually is true, yeah, including Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we kind of, it feels like, I was never in a fraternity. I don't really know that whole routine.
None of
but,
us were, yeah.
But it seems like that rush process where they kind of put you through hell, that's sort of what
I feel like
we
shot
through.
A war movie. I really do. I feel like we, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
and
we shot
result,
like a platoon or something.
Like we did kind of bond in a weird way.
So you three and the director and Mike Tyson, is he in the
yeah,
fraternity?
Yeah, you know,
too?
And also I for some reason I always fail to mention Justin Bartha. And Heather Graham and Ken Jeung, who plays Mr. Chow, is phenomenal. Right. Do you remember him? Did you guys see Knocked Up?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the doctor Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's
and
some
role
other
models.
Great,
he's the, and role he's, models, yeah. He's the crazy king in Role Models.
he's awesome. Jeffrey Tambor is in the movie.
And then we got Rob Riggle, who's fantastic.
Oh, Riggle.
He's great.
Yeah, Brody Stevens, who's plays Riggle's right-hand man.
All right, now you're just making up people.
No, Brody Stevens is in it. He's a great stand-up in L.A., this guy Brody Stevens.
Well, you've sold us, and I hope people listening are going to take our advice and go see The Hangover when it opens up everywhere on Friday. Guys, it's so great of you to come in. I know you got a crazy promotion schedule this week.
No,
but
we really wanted
you
to come in.
Today,
yeah,
absolutely.
So.
Glad to be here.
We appreciate it.
Good luck
it.
With the movie, and I hope we see you again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag, are they off? Are they on? Are they in? Are they out? What's going on over there? And I'm a celebrity. Get me a show to watch.
Out? Don't care that much.
So far, they're still out.
Out? Okay.
But they could be back. We don't know.
Okay.
Apparently, we're in flux now.
We don't know.
America holds its breath, waiting for the news. But People Magazine is reporting that producers of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here are already hedging their bets and have lined up two new cast members to take their place. Again, according to People Magazine, Stephen Baldwin's brother Daniel,
and
who
Hitler?
You may have seen. And Hitler?
And Hitler.
No, Hitler's not familiar. Right. Who you may have seen on Celebrity Rehab.
Yes.
As a sex and drug addict. Maybe joining the cast to compete against his brother. And those two apparently just go, they go off, those two.
Is that right?
And Holly Montag, sister of C-lister Heidi Montag, apparently also in the wings to step in for her sister.
And no other option but siblings.
How does that help?
I guess it's an angle. I guess it's a hook. I guess it's something you can hang your hat on.
But guys, I'm going to go back to the faulty title of the show. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. If you want to put this show on the air and you're NBC, don't you try to cast it and realize you can't get any celebrities? So you just say, okay, I guess we're not going to do that show. How do you go forward without celebrities?
I don't know.
And if Heidi and
that's
Spencer
the whole
are your
point
biggest
of the show,
celebrities.
Yeah,
summertime, man. Forget it. It's China.
Frangela is on this show, whatever that is. Frangela is a celebrity.
NBC's been dying to get Frangela their own show for some time now. This may just be a test balloon. You know, this may be a backdoor pilot, as they say, for the Frangela hour.
You told me they were comedians, allegedly, but have they ever said a funny thing? Ever?
Dude, they're black, fat, and sassy. What more do you need from a comedian?
Funny?
They say things like, oh, that snake was sure on Tori Wilson's head. I think it was building a condo. It was staying there.
Kid, I saw it sign the lease.
That's right. That's
well,
the kind
now
of
I'm just
going
to try to pray to forgive them.
Okay. All right, Heidi.
New engagement news. Christina Milian.
Yeah.
Yes.
And The Game.
Oh.
Engaged.
Oh, The Game.
They have confirmed their upcoming marriage to Sister Magazine. I guess that's when the sisters talk to each other. And they'll soon have a big party in the Bahamas to celebrate. Oh, I can't wait to say congratulations, Christina Game.
It's my homeboy, The Game.
The Game's your homeboy?
Lives very somewhat near me, so we're homeboys.
Well, congratulations.
You hang out with him a lot?
I do. I mean,
so not at all?
I mean, occasionally I'll see him.
Right.
Have you met him one time?
Well, not
just the once.
Not met.
I've seen him on TV.
Okay.
So that's close.
So I'm his buddy, too.
Eva Mendez has offended God.
Uh-oh.
Why? Why do you say that?
Star Magazine reports she was recently at a Kabbalah ceremony. And the rabbi caught her tweeting and reprimanded her in front of the entire congregation.
Being reprimanded right now.
Hope they don't take my red string bracelet so I get the evil eye.
Yeah, so don't tweet in church, people. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Forget Twitter. I'm on the CB.
Speaking of celebrity rehabs, we just were moments ago. A new cast member has been added to season 3. I gave you the early lineup, but a last-minute addition. You might want to adjust your scorecards.
Okay.
Tom Sizemore. Apparently checking in over at Promises with Dr. Drew to try to get clean and saucy.
Heidi Fleiss has to be happy with that.
Yes, Lisa. Excellent point that I was going to bring up next is that Heidi Fleiss is also in the cast, and those two were once fiancés.
Oh, who knew?
Oh, my God.
Lisa did, apparently.
That. Didn't that's, he?
She I did not know that.
Like, beat her up?
Sure, Lisa. Sure, he was accused of domestic violence back in 2003, and the court found him guilty as charged and sent him to prison for 17 months. But there's no reason they can't be friends and aid in each other's recovery. That's what I say.
Wow. I'm so in.
Right?
Oh. I'm a little bit surprised that Dr. Drew would allow that, since one of the things they don't want you to do is have any kind of a relationship while you're in recovery. And it seems like that would be pretty combustible with those two.
Are you questioning the judgment of Dr. Drew Pinsky?
Yeah,
I will not stand for that.
I am absolutely not. I'm sure he made the right decision.
Yeah. Sounds to me like you're questioning.
It does to me, too.
I don't like
it. Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
That's not the case.
You're a questioner.
I'm not at all. I was just saying, I was surprised to see that because as a layperson, I thought that was a bad idea, but clearly the doctor knows best.
That's not what you were saying, by the way.
Saying
for the record.
You're questioning.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Mm. You are not awesome with awesome sauce. That's all I know. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Tony Curtis, film legend, is 84 years old today. And may I add, the best toupee in show business. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but it looks like he's wearing a polar bear pelt on his head. it's pretty remarkable.
Not a good look?
I'm just saying, he could use a fine-tuning in the hairpiece department.
Okay.
He's 84 years old. Chuck Barris from The Gong Show turns 80 years old. See? Gong.
I guess so, yeah.
Scott Valentine, who played Nick Mallory's boyfriend on Family Ties, is 51. Guitarist Kerry King of Slayer turns 45.
Remember when it was Mike's birthday and we had him call in?
Yeah.
And Mike melted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Wait a minute! Don't get excited!
Bean's been waiting to play that for weeks.
Is the FBI here?
Singer Gordon. Mike
Wait,
Gordon.
Is who here?
The FBI!
Mike, what's wrong with you? We don't need you working against us. You don't have to work for us, but don't work against us.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're not.
Mike is the mole on this show. Have you ever figured that out?
Singer Mike Gordon of Phish is 44 years old today.
No!
CBS newsman Anderson Cooper celebrates his 42nd birthday. And a singer who had a hit in the TV, in the movie Flash. No. Footloose.
Footloose.
Not Flashdance. Footloose. Her name was Denise Williams. She was called Niecy by some.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Do we know anyone that introduced a record by her? Or
well, she was popular on the radio years ago. There must be a DJ someplace who was doing the back sell of her song someplace.
Was this Bean's former life as Flash Phillips?
This may have been Flash Phillips.
PGC, I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
I would not say that.
No one would say that.
I would not go that far.
Kevin and Bean, stop it.
Okay, I'm with you, sir.
You not entertained?
That's correct.
Sprain your ankle. Are you not entertained?
We are not.
Foot usually gets tighter even. Doesn't even get looser.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That was even before I was Flash Phillips, by the way. That was back when I was It's Me, GBGB. That's what that was.
Oh, GBGBG Baxter?
Oh, right. Good for you. Yeah. And how was it?
It was horrible. We all heard it.
Not good.
Not good.
She's 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey now.
Remix. It's my mashup.
It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, and we have some familiar faces in the studio with us today. We have Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring.
Yes. Come on.
Yes. Hi. How's it going? Yes.
How are you boys?
Good, good, thanks.
Doing good, yeah.
The band has been touring. They've been very busy, but they're back in town because they're playing the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine on Friday night. That is, it's got to be one of the best venues for y'all to play because you must be so familiar with it, as many shows as you've done down there over the years, right?
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Feels like home.
It is. Well, it is a hometown show, too. A lot of friends and family coming out.
Does that make you any more nervous to have friends and family, or do you just...
It's a little different with Aunt Sally in the audience, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to clean it up a little with Aunt Sally?
Well, you know, you got, yeah, thinking about the cussing, and the nephews are there, and the grandkids, you know. And
I just drink through it.
And what's the name of your tour?
It works for me.
What's the name?
Can we say it?
Yes.
Can we say it? It's the This Up Tour.
Okay. All right, good. Well, I don't know why Aunt Sally wouldn't love that.
Yeah. You know, come on, Aunt Sally. As long as we're going with this. Stupid. You know, why not?
The tour, which has been going around the world, is playing Friday night with the Alkaline Trio and Street Dogs. And I'm glad you guys are in today because this is actually good news. Live Nation, who is the big giant behemoth ticket seller that we love to hate, is actually doing something cool. And that is No Service Fee Wednesday. Starting today, you can get your lawn tickets for the Offspring Show Friday night with no service charges. Now, the service charges, that's what's been driving people crazy about the ticket process for all these years, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the ticket price can be $25, and then with service charges, it's somehow $200 a ticket. Yeah. I don't know how that happens, but not today. Apparently not today. Yeah. How much are the tickets for the tour, do you know? The tour, that one.
We're going to say it as many times as we can since we can.
I don't know. Let me get our accountant on the phone right away. I have no idea.
Well, so it's minus charges today, minus extra charges today.
Awesome.
Right. It's $10.
$10.
Really?
It's minus $200.
That can't be possibly true.
That's what I've been told, yes.
$10.
Wow. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Make it five. Come on.
We went up to Live Nation. We said, bro, just be cool. Can you just be cool on this one? You know, $10. Why not?
Did that work?
And they said, yeah, sure, bro. Huh. When you say bro to a big company, it usually helps.
Okay. Let me make a note of that. Bro.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. That's a good tip.
I wouldn't have thought.
Have you been any place new since the last time we talked to you guys on this tour? Because I heard you were going to Russia and you're going to all sorts of places that I just think would be amazing. But have you been to any place new lately that you'd never been to before?
Yeah, we were in St. Petersburg this year, which was great. We played Moscow the night before, or two nights before, and then we took a train overnight, which was really fun. If you've never been on a Russian train, you got to do it.
I've never been anywhere in Russia.
The vodka on a train just is so much better.
Sure. You don't have to worry about driving or anything else?
Yeah.
And Sioux City, Iowa is another new place. So,
oh, that's right.
It's different. Yeah.
That's right.
Very similar.
Both
very
exotic. Similar. Yeah.
They also drink a lot in Sioux City, too, I understand.
Yeah.
The people that I know that have gone to Russia, they always expect to be terrorized because they're Americans or to be beat up and robbed or something like that. But the people that I know say that they're very warmly welcomed there.
Absolutely. You know, and the young people there are just like young people anywhere else. But the old Russian ladies who've had to provide for their families over the years and wait in lines
years?
To do so, they'll beat the crap out of you.
Is that right? You don't want to cross the
line. We wait in the line going in and out of immigration.
Passport, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just, yeah. They come up with their bags. They're
scarves.
Hitting you over the head. And,
wow.
You know,
well, they're angry. They've had a lot of hard life.
Yeah, and they're done with lines. They're just done with waiting in lines. You know?
They've mastered the line.
Just let them by.
You guys are probably used to skipping lines, and now you're like, we'll wait. We're doing fine.
Yeah.
We'll take our time. Don't worry about that.
Now, you're going to play acoustic for us this afternoon, which is not something that we get a chance to see you do very often. Do you do any of that ever during the show, like on stage? Will you whip out the acoustic guitar sometimes?
From time to time we've done it, but not usually.
Your songs don't lend themselves to that as easily as some might.
Right. That's what makes it kind of fun, because some of these songs aren't meant for acoustic guitar.
Right.
So to hear that is just different.
Did we tell you guys the first time we ever were introduced to you? Bean, did we ever tell them this story?
I'm not sure.
We
were doing a singles party, and our boss, Mr. Weatherby, said, we have this new up-and-coming band, The Offspring. Let's ask them to play. And we were like, no, it's not. Let's just have a DJ. We're like, they're new. Let's not take the risk. Let's just have a DJ playing some music. This band, The Offspring, maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't, but we don't want to take a risk at this point. Do you remember
this was like right after, was it Smash had just been released
must
or something like that?
94,
and I know like 3 weeks later, the singles party's already a forgotten memory with some DJ. Like 3 weeks later, you've got the number one record, you know, on K-Rock. And we were like, oh, what did we do? Why are we bad?
That's
boy,
right.
Can we pick up?
We don't always make good decisions.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So we won't make that mistake again.
But The Offspring is here. They are going to play live in just a second. Again, they're playing Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on Friday. And Alkaline Trio and Street Dogs are the support acts. And you can get tickets without charges at LiveNation.com.
It's awesome.
How about that? All right, guys, you're going to go in the other room. What are you going to play for us?
Christy, are you doing okay?
Okay. Fantastic. We'll do that next on the world-famous K-Rock.
Cinco de la Tarde on the world-famous K-Rock. It is Wednesday afternoon, a rare live music appearance during this hour. Our friends from The Offspring, Dexter and Needles, are here. So the is up. That's what we're learning from this interview, guys?
Again?
We can't use that language.
We're going to go straight from that into, Christy, are you doing okay, really?
All right, okay.
Before you guys play this, and we're very excited to hear what it sounds like acoustic, first of all, was it written this way? Is this how the song was born as an acoustic number?
It actually was, yeah. Sometimes the way you write a song, what instrument you're kind of playing when you're writing it kind of makes the song turn out that way.
Okay. And I hate to ask, but I got to know, there is a Christy or is no Christy? Is she fictional?
It's not a real name. It's a real story. When I was much younger, I knew someone. I had a sense something was going on. She was actually being sexually abused, and although, like I said, I kind of had a sense of it, couldn't quite put it together because I was like 10 or something. So yeah. I never said anything about it or did anything about it. And this song now is me writing, looking back, saying, I'm really sorry that that happened to you, and I'm sorry that I didn't do more.
It is a very powerful song. We're very excited to have you guys doing it for us this afternoon. From The Offspring, Dexter and Needles, live on the world-famous K-Rock.
There's a moment. Cause your eyes told the tale of an act of betrayal. I knew somebody did. Oh, waves of time seem to wash away the scenes of our crimes. For you this never ends. Can you stay strong?
Mike, you were crying. I saw a tear a little bit in the eye, corner of your eye right there.
Powerful
during that song.
Powerful.
Yeah. The Offspring is here. If you're thinking, hey, that sounds different, it's because Dexter and Needles are here with us on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde on the world-famous K-Rock. Their tour is coming to Irvine at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater Friday night. Tickets are available right now through Live Nation.
What's the name of that tour? I'm sorry, I forget.
It's the
tour.
That's right. Okay. And Dexter's tried to tell us that you can get on the lawn for $10, no service charges. That sounds suspect to me. I would check that with somebody else, but that's what he's telling us anyway. All right. How about one more? How about some classic Offspring today? What else you got?
We can play Come Out and Play, I guess.
Yeah. Don't know that one.
We could have had that at a singles party if we played our cards right.
You gotta keep them separated. Spreading disease. The kids are strapping on the way to the classroom, getting weapons with the greatest of ease. They can't say, cut their own campus locale. If the kids are slipping in, it's all over foul. And one guy's colors and the others don't mix. They're gonna bash it up, bash it up, bash it up, bash it up. Hey, man, you talking back to me? Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey, man, you just respecting me. Take him out.
You gotta keep him separated.
Hey, don't pay no mind. If you're under 18, you won't be doing any time. Hey, come out and play. By the time you hear the siren, it's already too late. One goes to the morgue and the other to jail. One guy's wasted and the other's a waste. It goes down the same as a thousand before. No one's getting smarter, no one's turning the score. You never ran as free of death and violence and hate. It's gonna tie your own rope, tie your own rope, tie your own. Hey, man, you disrespected me.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey, man, you talking back to me? Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey, don't pay no mind. If you're under 18, you won't be doing any time. Hey, come out and play. Violence and hate is gonna tie your own rope, tie your own rope, tie your own. Hey, man, you talking back to me? Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey, man, you disrespecting me? Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey, don't pay no mind. If you're under 18, you won't be doing any time.
Seamless, yes.
That was amazing.
That did sound good. Hey, do you still have, I don't remember his name, but your friend who would come out on stage every night and do that part of the song, the separated part, is he still with you?
Well, his name's Blackball. He moved to Seattle, so he comes out on stage in Seattle.
Okay.
Noodles did it there. I was just about to step in, but I went.
I was wondering if Kevin was going to steal your mic for that minute.
You want to come out and do it Friday? You going to be there?
I've always... Oh, interesting. Yeah. I could be the come out and play
guy?
You
can come out and do the keep separated.
Got to keep them separated. I could do that?
There you go.
I'd be a rock star.
That's pretty cool, Kevin. Awesome. That is actually pretty darn cool.
We've had a number of people doing it from Pauly Shore to Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Actually, those guys did it together at the... one of the weenie roasts.
It sounds like a good idea ahead of time.
Right.
You know, Pauly Shore, it's not. And Dennis Rodman, you know, those are two guys that are fighting for one spotlight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Never good.
Better idea ahead
Ice
of time.
Ice-T was really good at it when he did it.
Oh, convincing. I'm sure. Convincing. I'm sure.
Awesome. Well, we love you guys, as you know. Hey, how's the hot sauce going before we say goodbye, by the way? Are you still moving it?
Yeah, it's going well. We're in supermarkets in Southern California. Gringo Bandito.
Fantastic.
We're selling it at the shows.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. The tour comes to town. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine. Go see the Offspring, hometown favorites, along with Alkaline Trio and Street Dogs. And buy your tickets today, right now, while you're thinking about it, so you don't have to pay the service fees, thanks to Live Nation. And one more time before you go, guys. I missed the name of the tour. What are you calling it?
Oh. Stuff is messed up tour.
Clean version.
Bro.